right, folks. We're now entering the corking room. This is where the final step in the bottling process happens, where we prepare all the corks for all the bottles of Brunello that you saw earlier.
This is PFW in progress.
I've always actually wondered about that. How do you cork the bottles?
Excellent question, Mabella. As you can see, we are soaking all the corks in this room right now.
PFW in progress.
These three guys right here are some of the most talented cork soakers. Say hello, you old cork soakers.
With Fred Kirsch.
Now, I'm curious, how does one become a cork soaker?
As we are like to say, cork soakers are born, not made.
Paul Perillo.
Luigi here was simply born to soak cork.
I love soaking a cork. I could soak a cork all night long if they let me.
And Andy. And Andy?
So, are all corks the same?
No, no. I like to soak the big, thick cork.
Andy Hart.
The great thing about the cork soaking is that while you are soaking the cork, you can also massage at the grapes.
The Sheriff, Tom Casale.
Could you teach me how to soak cork?
You know, when are you walking in here, I could have sworn you're already an expert cork soaker.
Yeah. And you never know who else might stop by.
Thank you. I dabbled in college.
PFW in progress.
Do you ever run out of corks to soak?
This one vintage was unusually large, and I thought Giuseppe would need the extra corks.
And I thought Marcello would need more corks.
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
So we soaked each other's corks at the same time.
All right, welcome to PFW in progress. It is Thursday at Gillette Stadium. The gang's all here. It's probably Thursday everywhere, unless you're
except on the international dateline.
Right,
yeah, other
right.
parts of the world.
That's
it's already
right.
tomorrow.
There could be some places that are listening.
It's not tomorrow. It's
Friday.
Today. Over there, it's today.
It's today.
Here,
there.
It's tomorrow. Here, it's yesterday.
Right.
Right.
If yeah. you're over there. Anyway, Paul, Andy, Tom, Eric.
Lunch.
Yep.
Fred. Lunch is here, baby.
And Mini Gary in the booth.
With his hair is wet today or greased up or something. What do you got going on in there?
I think it's gel.
Oh.
That is a lot of hair.
What? It looks like crap.
When are you going to cut that thing?
That is a lot of hair.
It looks
never.
Terrible.
What do you mean never?
Don't ever do that again.
You know what I just realized? As far as amount of hair, Dan's hair should be on Andy's head. And Andy's yeah. hair should be on Dan's head, because
I think Andy and I do have the same amount of hair. It's just his head is so big.
You know how big my head would look if I had that much hair on top of the size of my head?
What are you going for there, Dan?
Jufro.
Jufro? I'm not familiar with that term.
It looks like you're going to be on American Idol tonight or something.
Gary put a picture of me right up here in the studio.
Yeah, just so you know, it looks a little gay fro.
Oh, see now why
it always
you
comes.
Go
it always comes back to that.
Yeah,
he's got so
on
many,
his mind.
He's infatuated.
Oh, yeah, yep.
yeah
it really
just
is.
Telling me that doesn't look gay in
you,
there.
You know what well. He's. You know what he's doing. It's just like if I keep making fun
jealousy.
Of them, they won't think I'm gay.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm not jealous. Paul probably is.
What do you have in your chin, Andy?
Yeah.
What? Yeah. It's called
leftovers.
Now how long have it been? 4 days. Before you were going, it was only two.
Six
days.
Now.
It hasn't grown any.
It looks exactly the same way it did when you got in here on Monday.
Andy's trying to grow a beard and it's not working.
No, not
like
at
spider.
All.
Grow a beard.
It's like spider in there taking shots.
Yeah.
Going to get your foot shot off over there.
My wife likes it.
So, Mini Gary, I didn't have my headphones on. You said you're going for the Jufro.
Yeah.
Is that an okay term?
I guess
he's
if Jewish.
You're Jewish.
Yeah. Especially
if you're Jewish,
you can say it.
Yeah. But, Andy, that stuff...
So, if Mr. Kraft walks in and sees you, he's going to say, hey, nice Jufro?
I'm not sure that Mr.
No,
Kraft would
not.
Be familiar with that term.
that stuff on your chin's got to go. I mean, if I had that, I'd have to kick my own ass.
There's an original. Dave Dudek used that joke. That's
Fred,
how lame
it
is.
It worked for me, Fred.
It? Yeah, it was good.
He gets excited. Oh, you did like it?
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. webradio@patriots.com. The personnel movement is still going on here at Gillette. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about what's going around the league and, of course, Brett Favre's retirement. I'm not sure. We were just talking about this before we got on the air.
It was odd. The way we were saying, if you're Brett Favre, you know what you've done for that organization. You call the front office up. You have the thing with the desk with the helmets and
right.
everyone there taking pictures. You don't leave it on Mort's cell phone. That's not how you.
Well, it's obviously he's upset with the team, right? Hasn't he pretty much said that?
I didn't hear that, but
he's tired.
I haven't paid attention. Now
he basically said he was scared of expectations. Is what he said.
Are you guys telling me that he did not make any? He didn't say to anybody in Green Bay the first word that he gave anybody officially that he was retiring was that Mortensen voicemail?
Yeah, but Mortensen didn't break it. Fox broke it.
All I know is I heard Mike McCarthy said, we've been talking every week, and he never used the word retirement.
Yeah, and then he did talk to McCarthy, I think, after, but it was after it was out already.
Because I haven't watched this, you know, three-day-long love fest.
Yeah, I don't know, who broke it, but I know Mort's the one that had
it. Well, no, Fox broke it. Jay Glazer broke it.
He broke it. Then Mort had a voicemail from him.
Right.
After the breaking
and
news.
I did hear that voicemail.
Yeah.
Did he get permission to play that? Is that legal?
He had to have permission.
If Favre just leaves a voicemail, are you allowed to just play it?
Well,
I would assume that.
I think you are. If you leave a voicemail, you're basically
putting it
releasing
out there.
Yeah, I almost got sent to prison once because of that.
That's a quote.
But I thought it was. He basically said he was scared of the expectations. He said anything but a Super Bowl would be a failure for this year based on last year, and that's a lot of pressure. And
well, he said the only reason I'd come back was for a chance to win a Super Bowl. And then kind of intimated that – well, then he said the odds against that are
– yes.
Are, I don't know if he used the word astronomical or something. But
– he said they're tough.
There was something about – I forget what he said, whether it was in print or then, that he doesn't feel the team has gone out and done the things necessary to try to win a Super Bowl.
Well, everybody was speculating that he thought maybe Randy Moss would go there.
Yeah.
That there was – it was not a coincidence that when Moss signed here, he announced his retirement.
Right.
There was speculation of that.
If that's his reasoning, then that's unfair because you can't come to that conclusion before free agency starts.
Well, he was going to quit a year ago because of that same reason.
But it would have been accurate a year ago.
Right.
If you're doing it now,
right.
They haven't had a chance to do anything
that's
yet.
That's true. Now,
plus, they did nothing last year, and they got a lot better.
Yeah, they got really lucky last year, and they were horrible the couple of years before that. He should have retired like four years ago.
Now, the press conference yesterday that he did not attend was run by who? McCarthy? Or who ran that press conference?
I didn't see it.
Ted Thompson, I believe.
They had a press, and he didn't show up for that? Was he supposed to show up for it? I don't know.
These are all questions.
But any minute now, they're supposed to have another press conference.
Yeah, if you're having a press conference to announce a guy's retirement, the guy should be there.
Yeah, right? I have to plead ignorance because I didn't watch it either, and I haven't. I'm not all that interested in it, to be honest.
He's late
with
for
you.
This one.
This is a Favre farce, is what this is.
I mean, I like Brett Favre. I'm not one of these guys that dislikes the guy. I just don't really see the need. Tom made the comment on Tuesday. Do we need, you know, constant 24-hour, around-the-clock, Brett
Favre
watch.
They got
watch.
Nothing else to play.
Surely didn't play anything on Emmitt Smith.
No, I mean, I kind of agree with Tom. I just don't think that any player really warrants that. I know that you're going to get it for guys of his stature. When Tom Brady retires or Peyton Manning retires, you're certainly going to get this.
You are for as long as the NFL Network exists. You might get it for, Eugene Wilson retires.
Well, I mean, come on, Fred. Brett Favre's a three-time MVP,
And we hope he's retired if this is it, like Fred said.
Well, I certainly don't want to see him going to Miami.
I don't think.
That's stupid.
I think he's not playing it.
Well, I agree with you.
I mean, do you think?
I don't know.
I'm not sure. This is an effort to get traded?
No, I think he's done. You
do?
Yeah.
I think he's come to the end of the road. He wants to go live in wherever he
wants to. I think that if the Green Bay Packers said, okay, you can go seek a trade.
Well, who's he going to go to, Fred, that's a Super Bowl contender, better than Green Bay?
That's a good point, but maybe he feels, Miami with Parcells and all that. Maybe
they're going to go from one win to the Super Bowl?
Right. It makes no sense to leave a team that went to the NFC Championship to go to a team that almost ran the table, as Jim Rome said yesterday, in reverse.
I understand. I think that money talks. And
I don't think it has anything to do with money. Not with Favre.
I don't think it does right now in Green Bay, but I think if somebody offered, he could change his mind and say, okay, that's worth it.
I just don't think
that whole talk about only going for a Super Bowl, I think.
I mean, let's look at it the
other
way, too.
He's got a ton of money.
He's a guy that's considered retirement for years now, and he finally decided this was time. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say he has considered it, he's thought about it, and he has decided now is the final
more
time.
Food. More food has arrived.
Well, yes. I just have to. Chris Simonelli
is the best.
Came through big time.
Well, he was
today,
for 5 minutes.
But now Dan, just in his hair, just walked in. The whole.
Actually, Fred, the hair walked in first, and then Fred.
A whole new
Dan.
Set of pop. I don't know who this is from.
I'm assuming Vinny.
Vinny's the best.
Vinny's coming, right? Gary's going to bring him down to the show.
Oh, he's coming in here?
Vinny from.
Someone's
New Hampshire?
Coming here?
Not going to be on the show, but he wanted to watch.
Oh, okay.
But I just need to be told these kinds of things. Don't.
Well, are you going to get dressed up for him?
No, I need to be mentally prepared. I, you know,
he did. You know, in Tom's defense, he did mention to me upstairs that he wasn't quite sure he was going to be able to make it. He wasn't really feeling on his game today. So now, you know, he's probably going to want to spruce it up a little bit. You know, punch up this resume. Yeah, yeah, Nick's rule.
Now I got to be on. You know, I'm not on.
Well, I don't want to digress from the whole Favre talk, and of course, we do need to get into the other personnel moves the Patriots and other teams are doing. But, Tom, I do have to say, I have noticed upstairs that you really have lately been holding court with the ladies up there. I mean, they just gather.
I've noticed as well.
They gather around your,
we're just
your cubicle. Yeah, but they're like, they're hanging on every word you say and everything you say, the giggles.
And you're using your voice, you know, not the, I'm Tom Costello and I know football.
Right.
Oh, really? You like, did you watch it last night? I love
right.
it, too. What did you watch?
First of all, you're eliciting laughter,
I think
giggling.
Upside,
yeah.
Of course,
you used to save that voice for your wife and your mom, and now you're using
Tom's
it on
so
other
first
people.
Of all, I never used it for my wife.
I was going to say his wife.
But you know, they're walking away, and they're like, hey, you know, Tom is a nice guy. He's really nice.
Let's state something that's a fact. None of those girls think I'm attractive. None of them. For obvious reasons. We're only talking about American Idol, Rock of Love, Celebrity Rehab, those types of
things.
And
a new one that they're trying to get us to watch,
yeah,
Project Runway.
Project Runway. So that's all it is, little gossip.
Oh,
Fred.
But they're just hanging
Tom,
on every
Tom,
word you say.
How do you know?
I it's right outside my office.
Oh, yeah, Tom, it's there. It's visible. So you can feel it.
I mean, they're gigging.
I'm all for it, but I don't think it's visible. If it was visible, I...
Hey, you should be embracing this, Tom.
I would be, but I just don't see where it's... I don't see what you guys
I think
are
they
seeing.
Have a point.
I mean, listen...
You know they all listen, right?
You guys... Him and Lori are practically sleeping together in the office, and you guys are like,
oh,
I don't
that.
See it. I don't see
I
it.
See
wait a minute.
I'm talking to
I,
somebody about a Bret Michaels reality TV show, and you think I'm cheating on my wife.
Hi-ho, I came right around on that. As soon as you brought that out to, you were the first one to jump on it, and I've certainly backed you up on that.
I knew there was something going on when the other day I saw Andy holding her pocketbook. That's a sure sign that, you know.
Oh, that was hers?
Yeah.
But just to,
well done right there. Not but, in a gay way, of course.
What, you thought it was yours?
But just
see, that wasn't good. Funny, Andy.
That's right.
Thanks, Fred.
But I just want to clear something up, Fred.
You're not the guy I would go to find out.
I just want to
right,
clear something up.
You appeal to the third grade.
If
go
any
ahead,
of those
Tom.
Girls happen to be interested in me, I may be married, but like I said before, I'm not a fanatic about
I'm not
it.
A fanatic about it.
This ring, look how easy that comes off. No ring.
He just
no
took
ring.
His ring off,
no right? ring.
All right. Okay.
Then I'm going to go on that Moment of Truth show. I'm going to win $500,000 when they say, have you ever had sexual relations with somebody at work? Yep. Next question.
I like young girls.
All right. All right. So back to
reality.
I just think it's a little odd how this is all happening with Favre. Like you said, Tom, a guy of that stature, if he's going to retire, there's some formality to that. But it's kind of like it's an afterthought.
I don't think he wants to retire. That's the whole point.
I agree.
I don't think he
does. I think he thinks he can still play.
Well, he said that. The thing that Mike Felger talks about this a lot. It's obviously a topic that's near and dear to his heart because he grew up in Wisconsin and is a huge Packers fan. Brett Favre, the football player, the guy that you see on the field, the skills that he has, throwing the football, doing all those things, he can still play. There's no question he can still do it. He will not put in the work off the field anymore. He will not watch film the way he should, the way we know that Brady does, the way we know Manning does. He will not do those things that it takes to truly succeed at the highest level. That's why you see him be so inconsistent the last 3 or 4 years, because he's not doing all the stuff that you need to do.
He just wants to go out and wing
it. And Felger says that it's when Mike Holmgren left and he didn't have that hammer to come down on him anymore. That was what the difference was. I think if you ask Brett Favre, if you can go out there every Sunday, and you can go through training camp and then go out there every Sunday and play, he'd be back in a heartbeat. But you can't win like that.
Yeah, and I also think,
play
Paul,
in the AFL.
That he needed the hammer because I don't
yes.
think, I don't think he was a guy who liked doing the films.
He wanted to go. Remember when we were out in Green Bay 2 years ago? It was the opening of hunting
yeah.
season. And Felger was joking around with us. You watch. He'll be awful this week. And what happened?
Right. And you talk about guys like,
hurt, didn't he?
Like Brady.
But he was terrible before he got hurt.
But guys like Brady and Aikman and those guys, they can't hold a candle to Favre's physical ability. And he got away with that a lot when he was younger. So I think guys like an Aikman who didn't have a strong arm, he has to watch a lot of, you know, he can't get away with just slinging the ball across the field.
A guy like Brady, yeah.
Yeah.
When you watch guys throw the football and you watch Brett Favre, Brett Favre is in a very small
yes.
group of guys in terms
Elway.
Elway.
Marino.
I'll put Fred's buddy, Jeff George, throws the football like no one else. I mean, Elway, Marino, Favre, these guys, no one throws the ball better. I mean, pure physical standpoint, you'd be hard-pressed to find three, four, five guys that throw the ball any better than those guys do. But it takes a lot more than that. Now, Favre obviously had a lot more than that, but I don't think he's willing to do it. And I agree with Mike Felger on that. I just think you watch his the inconsistencies to his games and the postseason, especially his last 8-10 postseason games, really, really bad stuff. And I think that part of it is his unwillingness to do the stuff off the field that it takes. That's why I think he's retiring, not necessarily because he wants to, because he kind of feels like he has to.
All right, well, maybe it is for real, you know?
It's well, I just don't see how he could play anywhere else.
Yeah.
Especially a team like Miami. It would, if you look at Super Bowl contenders, they're contenders because they have a quarterback. You know, it's not – if you go to a team like Miami, what's the best you can hope for, 7 wins?
Well, every year there is one team that just turns it around. And
but not one
they're
team
in the
Patriots
they might
division.
Need is a quarterback.
They could have an 8-game turnaround and still be 3 games out of the playoffs.
That's the thing. You know, no team goes from 1 win to 13. That doesn't happen. It's almost impossible.
He's gonna bookend his career. He's going to end it in Atlanta, where it all started.
I think you're crazy, but
– I'm kidding.
You're lower than
kidding.
Crazy.
I'm kidding.
All right. All right, so let's talk about some of the moves the Patriots have done over the last few days. They brought in this Tank Williams from the Vikings, safety, a big guy.
6'2".
He's a thumper.
Yeah, 2-something.
Yeah.
Yeah, very physical player.
Do you think he'll have an impact? Is he?
He has a chance to be a third safety.
He's not. Yeah, he's not going to beat out James
Sanders.
We'll
have to see what his health is, because he was never the fastest guy in the world before he hurt his kneecap. So depending on that. You know, the Patriots don't really need any more slow players back in the secondary getting beat all the time.
Who else did they bring in?
Jason Webster. I don't like that.
We talked about him on Tuesday.
I said Warfield wouldn't make the team. I said James wouldn't make the team. I'm not. Webster's a little bit better than them, so I wouldn't doubt if he makes the team. But if people are expecting anything from this guy, I think you're kidding yourself.
Mike Reese reports today that Adam Seward's coming in.
Andy reported that weeks ago.
Coming in for a visit?
I'll go with speculated.
I read that in the Herald, that he was coming in, just to out of fairness. That both papers probably had that.
Who wants to chip in and how what you think he could do?
Andy knows his whole life.
No one knows what he can do because he hasn't played that much in the NFL, but he's one of those guys we talked about. They had interest in coming out of college 4 years ago. Now you get the second wave. 3-4 inside guy at UNLV, has some experience, has some size. At worst, is a special teamer.
The guy I wanted them to bring in just signed with Tampa Bay, though, Teddy Lehman.
Okay.
With Detroit, so he's off.
You mean there's a guy who used to play for Oklahoma who's still in the league?
Yeah. So, I mean, he was at least a name that, you know, he brought something to the table in college. He had a little bit of a resume in the beginning, then had some injury problems, I guess, and, you know, had a little bit of experience.
They all from Oklahoma?
Yeah. But
you know what
he was out there for a few days, and I thought for sure he'd be one of those guys that they'd bring
in. You know
what
I think he is,
Aaron? Position.
This guy for BYU, this linebacker I looked at film on, I wrote a Jag. Mm-hmm. That's what I think Teddy Lehman is.
Just a
guy?
Jag.
Yeah, I don't think he's anything.
No, he might not be anything, but at least he's a guy who has started some games
I don't
in the
want
NFL,
that. The Patriots in a year or so aren't going to have any inside linebackers. I don't want a guy who just sits on the bench and can play one game a year. They need players at that position.
Now, Seward's a restricted free agent. If the Patriots...
Fifth rounder.
Have they made him an offer?
Okay. No.
So if they do make him an offer...
You have the lowest tender they gave?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. But see, that's a guy I'd be more interested in. You know, a Teddy Lehman, he's kind of been around a little bit. He hasn't really done anything. Here's a guy who didn't play a lot in Carolina, but was a 3-4 college guy. They liked him coming out of school. Maybe you get a guy like that, you bring him in, and he can do something. I'd rather take a shot with someone like that than bring it in some loser veteran guy who is barely going to make the team.
Plus, he fits the whole Rob Ryan. He's got a little bit of experience in the league, and what he pointed out, what did he say? You can see toughness in the NFL. Mm-hmm. If they have NFL footage of him, they can see if he's physical and tough enough to do what they ask him to do.
So if the Patriots make him an offer, he accepts it, and the Panthers don't match it, the Patriots would have to give up a fifth-round draft pick in order to get him.
Yes. Correct. You know, the guys they usually cut.
So this is kind of like how they got Vrabel from Pittsburgh.
No.
No?
Not similar at all.
Not even close.
I thought he was a restricted free agent.
No, he was an unrestricted free agent.
Oh.
And they gave him a pretty good contract.
Who am I thinking of?
The other guy from Pittsburgh.
Rodney Bailey.
Rodney Bailey. Rodney Bailey.
Dan Klecko.
You were thinking of Rodney Bailey.
And you were madly in love with him when he was here.
Okay. All right. I knew there was some linebacker that they...
Rodney Bailey wasn't a linebacker.
Defensive line. There was somebody else that they gave... it was a restricted, and they ended up...
I don't know that they've ever ended... They've gone after linebackers, but who did they end up with?
Okay.
They had that for a few years there. Everybody who every time there was a restricted free agent from Kansas City who played linebacker, they offered him a contract.
And they got Monty Beisel.
And they I don't know that they've ended up with.
Okay. All right.
Why don't you move on, Fred?
Jabbar Gaffney back.
Jabbar Gaffney.
What was that guy's name from Kansas City though? That's bothering me now.
I don't know.
He had like 16 tackles in the game against the Patriots. So everybody figured that meant he could play.
Right. It began with a K.
Not Kazavinsky.
He was with Seattle.
Yeah. He's a Harvard guy.
Jabbar Gaffney's back.
A year deal for $2 million, was it?
And that's how I was thinking.
Yeah.
$2 million, question mark?
But $1.5 million more than I thought he should have gotten.
No, come on now.
Huh?
He should get at least $1 million.
He's a minimum guy to me.
Well, but he plays. He's not a special
but
teamer.
But you're Mr. Patriot. You said he should get $1 million a year. They doubled it.
No, I know. That's why I said $2 million.
And plus, who wanted him? Who else wanted him? Who are you bidding against aside from yourself?
People wanted him.
He's the J.D. Drew of this receiving core. Yeah, we'll give him $2 million. Why? Why?
I kind of like Gaffney. I like him more than these guys. I don't think he's a great player, but I think he's a guy Brady's comfortable with. Yeah. And
I think that's the highest on his list of why he's back.
Yeah, but I think if you cut him, some other guys you're going to bring in are either going to be the same or below him. You know what I mean? Like
he's a guy that's accepted his lot in life.
Yes, I agree. I'm with Fred. I could see 1 year, $1 million is about right.
How many fourth receivers do you think in this league make more than $1 million?
But I think on another team, he wouldn't be a fourth receiver.
I don't think
he's a good fourth receiver.
On our team.
I think
he
started.
He leaves Tom Brady, he's out of football.
He could be the second receiver on this team this year.
Well,
possible.
I mean, with Welker being the slot guy.
Yeah,
not the,
right.
Yeah.
With Welker in the slot.
I look at Welker as your third receiver, but a special third receiver. You know, like,
well, that's what we're saying, that he would take over what Stallworth played most of the year, like he did later
on
in the
season. He might be better than your second receiver, but, you know, he's not the guy that's going to, you know, line up wide. So he's
so you're admitting he counts on other people to get his job done.
Yeah, I just
he rides coattails.
You know.
Well, he does what he does, but he does it amazingly well.
Three times in the last...
We're not going to get back on this, are we? I mean, this case
Fred,
is closed.
I can ask you a question.
This case is closed.
PatsFans.com, they love it. They know we read them. They love it when we talk about them. They had a little poll or however opinion. They do something. Wes Welker for Chad Johnson, straight up, would you do it?
Yes.
Okay. Chris Ferreira upstairs, our webmaster, the famous Chris Ferreira, no. Wouldn't even consider it. No.
I didn't read that. Was anybody saying no? I didn't read it.
The first 10 that I read all said they wouldn't do it.
Wow.
God.
That's why I
Fred, that's what's laughing.
And this isn't taking salaries into consideration. No, this is just which player would you rather
have? They might be.
And I also think that's why places like
the situation of, you know, of Chad Johnson in the mouth and all that. But in terms of ability, I mean, it's not even a question.
The answer is what you gave. It's a half a second, and then, yes, I do it. That's why I don't think a lot of those places are indicative of how all Patriots fans think.
Right.
Because if you're telling me you wouldn't trade Wes Welker for Chad Johnson, you either, A, don't know anything about football, two, are blind as a bat and don't want to see what's going on,
right?
Or three, you shouldn't even be able to talk right on anywhere. I mean, seriously, you're embarrassing
Better
yourself.
Than what I thought he was going to go with the third one.
I forget the kid's name, but there's a kid in the draft this year that they're saying is like a Wes Welker.
He's from Texas Tech.
Yeah.
Danny Amendola.
You would have read quotes, but Eric decided not to.
It's because he's white and he played at Texas Tech.
I draft him and get Chad Johnson. I mean, it's a no-brainer.
But I just don't see why. Like, could you imagine what Chad Johnson would do with Tom Brady? I mean, we saw what Moss would do.
Oh, yeah.
And then you're putting Moss and Chad Johnson.
And I think Chad Johnson actually is faster at this point in his career, jumps higher in this point.
I think he would be unstoppable.
And will go, you know, put his body out over the middle for a ball. You know, Randy kind of still.
And Wes Welker is a great player, especially for this. But if you have a chance to get an elite receiver.
That's like saying, would you trade a good number three starter in baseball for a true ace?
Yeah.
Well, I know you like your good number three, but if you can add an ace, you add an ace.
No, absolutely. And so they're saying no. on Pat's
Oh, I didn't read it. But.
I didn't read all. There was pages on
Paul
pages.
Paul said there were like the first
But my
10
point was
saying,
Chris
no,
Ferreira upstairs, who works in this organization, quickly and emphatically said no. And
well, that's because fairness, he had just done the splash page with Wes Welker and he didn't want to
But in fairness, I don't want to. I saw the thread in Pat's fans. I don't want to have all them all being all upset at us. I saw it real quickly. I clicked on it. I read very quickly through. I want to say maybe 8, 9 out of the first 10 all said no, they wouldn't do it. I didn't keep reading. There was a lot of, I mean, it might have gotten, you know, someone might have come in and said, hey, let's get a little dose of reality here. I mean, we're talking about a Ferrari and a Saab. You know, this isn't really close.
Saab.
Yeah, I think Welker's pretty good. I mean, Fred, you know, Fred turned out to be right on that. We got to call it the way it is. But I think much the way you just described Jabbar Gaffney, Fred,
kick you in the Kia.
Yeah, I think he is T.J. Hushmanzada, and I don't think much of him.
Right, but
I'm very consistent with that.
Who would you rather have, Chad Johnson or T.J. Hushmanzada?
Yeah, Chad Johnson.
Me too. That's my point.
But the way you describe Gaffney, Fred, is the way I think of Welker. I think he is much more valuable for the Patriots than he would be for a lot of other teams, and maybe that might cause you to spend the way they did, and they turned out to be right. You know, and I was wrong. Okay, I mean, I don't know how much more plain I can be about that. But with the Gaffney thing, I mean, the way I look at it, 3 times in the last 2.5 years, he's been free on the street for anybody to pick up, and no one's taken him but the Patriots.
Yeah,
and it's funny.
So I mean, $2 million.
Did you see?
I'm certainly not going to complain with them spending more money, but I thought that was a generous contract for a guy that didn't need to get.
Is it all like just straight cash, homie, or is it?
Fred brought his A game today.
Is there like incentives or how is it structured? Is it just $2 million?
It's just a 1 year deal.
I know, but
so if he gets cut, I'm sure he gets nothing.
Does he get like $500 now, $500 roster bonus at training camp, and then
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't.
I mean, in order to get the $2 million, he's going to have to make the team.
Yeah,
it's only a 1 year deal, so there really aren't any stipulations when it's a 1 year deal.
Did you see the quote that he had though? That he gave to, I think it was the Standard Times in New Bedford.
You read the Standard Times?
No, but it was quoted. That quote was quoted in another paper.
Oh, Dan Pyers called him? He has to do that.
And he said, apparently he said, you know, yeah, I wanted to work out a long-term deal. We couldn't get that done, but I think we will get it done. Something to that effect. So, you know, if they're giving him $2 million for 1 year, how could they not have worked out
a
longer-term deal?
I mean, if I'm Jabbar Gaffney, I'll pay forever on 1 year $2 million deals.
Chris Simonelli writes in. He's the one that was so nice to get us lunch today.
The first wave of it. Chris.
He says, nice job with the draft podcast. Good stuff there. That includes you, Eric, even though you still rhyme with hey. Now, can't wait to hear what you have to say about the linebackers and DBs. Curious what you guys think of the new guy, Tank Williams. Also, what about the Seward kid? Well, we've been talking about that. And if I remember correctly, didn't some of you like him coming out of the draft? That was Andy. I read up on them in ESPN's Insider Scouting Report, and they look like nothing more than special teamers.
Well, yeah, but their hope is they can turn another guy special teamer because he has their skills into a linebacker.
All right, on the phone right now is John from L.A. John, how you doing?
Pretty good. How you guys doing?
What's up, John?
You back in work, huh?
Yeah, well, I was always working. I run a production company, and that didn't stop. So, but, yeah, things are back on track. I hope Tom is satisfied.
Yeah, well, when the shows get back on, I will.
Yeah, we're still waiting for new material.
So, yeah, no kidding. So I wanted to first say that Pats fans has been a good site for a long time, but the last few years it's been not as good, and I agree with Paul. It's such a ridiculous. I mean, you take Chad Johnson over Wes Welker in a heartbeat.
Well, John, I haven't been there in a while because the last time I was there was like 35 threads about Spygate.
They have gone down.
Ridiculous. There's a bunch of newbies.
They used to talk about football and stuff, and it was interesting. But
yeah, it was really good. Like I've been on a few football sites, and Pats fans used to be phenomenal. Like it was a lot of really smart guys, but not so much anymore.
So where do you go now? Do you have a new site that's better?
You know what's not bad is at sonsofsamhorn.net, the Red Sox site. They have a Patriots thing, Patriots thread. And
okay,
it's, pretty smart guys.
All right, maybe I'll have to check that
out.
Well,
we have some of our regulars, too, on our show here. Uh-huh. They participate in a lot of those message boards. I know Ken from Canton, who writes in to us, does all the time. Sean in Hazleton. A lot of those guys. I mean, I enjoy what they have to say when they're talking football. I don't like when it gets to be something like this where there's no objectivity at all. Right. I like when they break down, you know, there's something about the pass protection. And I find some of that stuff very interesting. And sometimes I agree with it, sometimes I don't. But I'd be lying if I said I didn't check the stuff out every once in a while.
Yeah, I posted something in the Adam Seward thread yesterday, and somebody, and I mentioned, why are people acting like if we did happen to get Adam Seward, that would preclude the Patriots from getting someone like Clark Haggins or Victor Hobson? And somebody said, because of the salary cap. Oh. Are you kidding?
Adam Seward's going to cost you, $600,000.
Justin Miller sucks.
Yeah, I think he's a little better than that.
I agree with you guys that they actually do have a pretty good nucleus that's growing, but I'm not sure that Justin Miller is part of that, except as a kick returner. I wanted to just ask a question. This is about the taping the walkthrough thing, and I don't mean to rehash old stuff, but it's something I keep meaning to ask. How many times were the Rams in the red zone? I thought they were in the red zone like once and they scored a touchdown. And I don't think it matters. I think it's horrible if that happens, no matter what, on principle. I'm just saying it seems a little silly for Martz to keep bringing up the red zone when they only got in there once and they scored a touchdown.
Yeah, but they did have seven. The point.
They did have seven unsuccessful plays before they scored a touchdown, however.
Well, yeah.
They got bailed out with a penalty.
And, they were the greatest show on turf.
In any case, obviously, it's more the principle of it anyway.
I agree with you on that.
I guess you guys haven't heard anything more about that Walsh thing.
No,
and I think it's going away. I think everybody wants it to go away. I think Matt Walsh now wants it to go away, and I think it's going to go away.
All right. Well, I want to apologize to the Patriots fans who are listening for bringing it up at all.
Okay.
All right. I'll
Thanks,
talk
John.
To you guys later. Thanks,
John in L.A.
Stuff.
All right, see you, John.
Always good to hear from John.
Next time you call, I got another movie script idea for you.
No, it's Andy and I now. I'm in.
Yeah, Tom's got 10% of my production company.
All right, we'll 25%. Talk about that in a second. But I want to do another shout out to Vinny Ferraro, who bought us our second lunch today. He says,
I think he bought the first, actually.
Oh, the first one? Okay.
Oh, so Christian brought the second.
Yeah. I want to thank
They're
you for
They're both phenomenal.
I want to thank you for all the great work you did last season. You truly have the best show. I was very glad that we re-signed Randy Moss because listening to EEI over the weekend got me thinking that we would not re-sign him. First, why do you think that they did not franchise him? I have a hard time believing that Pioli and Bill got scared that Randy Moss might get ticked off. Second, I was a bit surprised that Samuel's deal with the Eagles was very affordable. Why do you guys think Patriots did not try to make the same kind of deal like that once they franchised him last year? Also, have you heard a rumor that Jason Taylor might be on the trading block? Supposedly, he is Tom Brady's best friend. Do you think that Pioli might make a push to get him? And thanks for all of your work. That's Vinny, who got us lunch today.
Unless Bill Parcells has a heart attack between now and next year, there's no way Jason Taylor's coming to the Patriots. No way would we trade him here.
I agree with that, and I think it would take Belichick anyway. If it was going to happen, I think, you mentioned Brady and their relationship. I think Brady maybe and Belichick would have to do something, get personally involved. I think that's the only way it would work. But I do agree with Tom. I can't see Bill Parcells letting him go to the team that theoretically he's chasing.
Right. Yeah, no way.
Right. Dan in Delaware is on the phone. Dan, how you doing?
Hey, getting better.
You sick?
I have been, but I'm just talking about the Super Bowl. It was hard.
Four people in this room got it. Fred didn't.
Fred, this is football talk.
Well,
Gary raises his hand to make
Gary
it five.
Gary claims five people in this room got it, and Fred didn't.
I care about the listeners, and when someone says, I'm getting better, I assume that something's
They're talking
wrong.
About the devastating Super Bowl loss.
No, people get sick,
Okay. Yeah. Hey, I want to talk to you guys. I've been thinking about something, about all these great offensive picks you've gotten over the last couple of years. And I know Belichick, and Bill we trust, we say, and I certainly trust in him. And I was thinking about, the last 10 years, how the game has changed and all the offensive records that are being set. Do you guys think that has a lot to do with the fact that they're making it harder and harder for defensive players to play the game with the rules?
I think that's part of it, yeah.
And I think Bill embraced it.
I think that's fundamentally changed the way the game works because – it used to be that in the playoffs, having a good defense was king, and maybe that's just not the case anymore.
Well, but this Super Bowl actually flies in the face of that theory.
Yeah, it did. They played really good defense, but, I just don't think it has the same...
No, I think you're right. There was, Paul, you'll probably remember this. Chuck Cecil was on the cover of Sports Illustrated about 15 years ago, where they really, you know, they said that he was being blackballed by the league. I mean, if you remember Chuck Cecil, he was about as hard a hitter as there ever was. And kind of since that time, they started changing the way they wanted the game to be played. Those kind, you know, Rodney Harrison is one of the last of the dying breed. He was around back then. But you take a guy like the guy, but I was just going to use him as an example. Roy Williams is a 240-pound safety. He's a big hitter. Back in the old days, he'd be a guy that would just kill you, supposed to kill. But he can't do that anymore because every time he hits you, it's either a penalty, it's this or that.
Right.
So I think you're right that they don't want that kind of play anymore, and I think it's not taught in college anymore. It's not taught in the high school level. I mean, you watch those old Raider highlights of Tatum and Atkinson. I mean, those are frightening just to watch the highlights of.
Yeah, because I was thinking about how all this and these changes over this last decade and a half are affecting our draft this year, because I've been worried about our defensive backfield like everybody else is, and you know, and just our defense age in particular. But do you get the most bang for your... When you have a very talented player, you're paying $10 million a year for him to play in the secondary defensively or something like that, are you getting the most bang for your buck because the rules limit him on how much he can do?
It's a good point. I mean, maybe, you know, it doesn't matter if it's Nate Clements or Asante Samuel or D'Angelo Hall. Maybe Belichick doesn't feel any of these guys are worth that much money.
And I think, well, that's, I think that's a mistake.
It. You know,
I think that's clear. He's put a value on corners, and he doesn't think it's an elite one.
But I think if you had Samuel here in New England, where he's proven he's a great player, I think that helps their defense so much. It allows Belichick to do other things. Now, I mean, who are you going to start here? Ty Law and Ellis Hobbs?
Plus,
are you going to blitz?
Are
you going to try to blitz?
Using the theory that it's a harder position to play based on the rules.
You'd want, if you had one.
If you have a great one, don't you do anything you can to keep them? Because there's very few that can be great under those rules.
Well, that's true, and there seems to be this coming year, you know, only a few that are great.
Yes.
And whatever the rules are that you're playing by, I definitely agree that there's been an emphasis on offense and all that, and I think it's tougher, you know, for the defenses. But whatever rules you're playing are the same for everybody.
Yeah.
And you still, Andy brings up the point that I can't get around. You still have to stop the other team. Whether you're winning 17-14 or 37-34, you still have to stop the other team more than they stop you. So
yeah,
you have to find the better players that you can find that can help you do that. You need to try to do that.
I just think in a salary cap conscious world, you get more bang for your buck offensively right now.
And I also think the salary cap right now is as irrelevant as it's been since it was incepted, because the cap is so high,
really?
Instituted. I don't know, instituted, I guess, would be the word that I was looking for, not incepted. But
I just looked at you. You didn't have to talk about it.
No, because I realized how stupid it sounded right as it came out of my mouth.
I didn't catch it.
But, you know, 116, whatever, million now. I mean, I just
–
you look at the money that teams are paying guys, and no one's in cap trouble anymore. I mean, more than half the league.
I think there were like six teams that were in cap trouble when free agency opened.
But it's all old cap trouble.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't think in, you know – provided that the CBA gets ironed out and you don't get into that whole uncapped year, I don't think you're going to see teams get in situations like Tennessee was in 3 years ago,
right,
where they're lopping off $30 million of talent, because I don't think that will happen.
Right. Once Al Davis and Jerry Jones learn how to manage the cap, all 32 teams will have mastered it.
Well, Al Davis has got no chance of learning that before he kicks it.
Yeah.
Well, you were saying, what are we going to do if we don't have a good secondary? I think we will blitz more, and that could get us into more trouble with the new rules. But you know what? That's a defense I'd like to see. I'd like to see a blitz defense.
Well, then you need guys like Samuel. That was my point. I want to see that, too.
Cover.
But if you have Ellis Hobbs and Jason Webster at corner, you're not blitzing. I can tell you that right now. You're playing 10 yards off receivers.
Yeah, you're right. I was thinking more in terms of...
You're a tough guy to crack.
You're easy, Dan. No, I mean, you know what?
Place on this show.
But you know what else, Dan, is I think they do, even now, blitz quite a bit. And I think that, matter of fact, they got a lot of criticism for the deciding play in the Super Bowl for an all-out blitz, leaving Ellis Hobbs out to dry.
Yeah, no,
I personally didn't have a problem with the call at all, because I think the only way they were going to stop him there was by sacking the quarterback. And that's what you do. But I think the Patriots blitz a lot.
See, I was thinking that if we didn't have a good secondary, we needed a blitz so that, you know, we were forcing him to throw quicker.
It depends on the quarterback.
Yeah, you're not blitzing
Peyton
Manning.
Manning.
Right.
People
risk
do
reward.
That, you do that to Tom Brady, he's going to kill you.
Yeah, you're right.
You know,
or
so
Manning. Or...
It just depends on who the quarterback is.
And even Eli Manning killed us on the blitz.
Yeah.
He certainly did on that play.
Yeah.
So how long are we going here?
All right. Well, you guys have a good day.
Thanks, Bill.
See you, Dan.
All right.
What did you just say?
That was great timing.
Thanks, Bill. That was Bill Belichick.
Oh, I thought you were talking to the caller.
No.
Right now, Brett Favre looks like me at my wedding. Tears just flowing.
I thought you didn't cry.
I got a little tongue-tied.
But you know what? It is funny because now this is like 3 days later. You know what I mean? It's not like he just announced it and he's going to have a press conference. It's still kind of raw. I mean, he's had a couple of days now to absorb it. You know?
And to watch all his coverage on NFL Network.
You know, if he was – I could see this. I could see him if he was, like, addressing – like, talking to fans.
He must have somebody under the table squeezing his nuts because how can you
– And there are only three people there.
Mark tape. They put Reagan on the ground quicker than this.
By the way, you still believe he's faking it?
Because
this doesn't have the look of a guy who's planning on playing for the Falcons in 2 months.
Besides the fact that I think it's great that Brett Favre comes out for his press conference, he's got blue jeans,
untucked shirt,
and an untucked shirt. That's
well,
just
never really
Brett
fit
Favre.
In.
That's what he is.
You saw the highlights of his prom or graduation where everybody else
God.
Is dressed up. He's Comments. Got watermelons under his arms and his flashy skin-tight shirt on.
You went to the prom in Kill, Mississippi?
Whether or not the Packers did enough.
Oh, this is him.
Whether or not Ted and Mike tried to convince me to stay, none of those things have any thing to do with me retiring.
But I want to watch Brett Favre.
And that's from the heart.
All right, well, it looks like he's gone.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, take it easy, Freddie. He didn't die.
Did you see Randy Moss's comment?
No.
On his website? Did you guys see that?
Yeah. He made a comment about
Favre
retiring.
About Favre retiring. A legend is, you know, we've lost a legend from the game and one of those
things. It's been an honor to be able to watch him during his career or something like that.
It was a nice thing that Randy Moss said.
Uh-oh,
I just don't think Randy Moss is, you know what, I need to call. Kurt Schilling, if he puts something on his blog, okay. But Randy Moss,
I know what you're
guy
saying.
Talks three times a year.
It was a classy thing that Randy Moss did.
I know, but
you know,
the Colts could be in trouble. Ben Utech visiting the Jets.
Utech,
now that we got
that guy, I will never forget that guy. The rest of
you
my
always
life.
Remember Ben.
Right, you're watching NFL films 20 years
thanks to
Utech,
and I'll see that name, and I'll immediately think of that day when Paulian was screaming and yelling behind us.
Eugene Wilson visiting the Jets too, which is no surprise because we all know that's a reason to sign.
Got to talk about the Jets because they're on a spending spree.
Yep.
Yeah.
AJ Smith and John Butler brought me there.
Doug Flutie's still at the podium.
Oh yeah. Before we move on to the Jets, one last thing: is Brett Favre this huge TV commodity? I heard him talking about that yesterday. Like that, he can write his own check on TV.
I don't know if he wants to do. He seems more of a
you mean
Bledsoe
like a studio guy?
Yeah.
I think he's going to go away.
He seems more
efficient.
Of a Bledsoe.
I think he's Bledsoe, only south.
Talented.
Only south. Only
south. At least talented.
Instead of the northwest.
I mean, he might
all
pop
right,
up.
Stop. Let's put the brakes on about how bad Bledsoe was, okay?
Oh, he's terrible.
I think
you didn't win three MVPs, okay? You're right.
I think you could see Favre pop up at like a Super Bowl, like as a guest host type thing.
Oh,
but
yeah,
I don't see him on
pull
a
him out every once in a while.
He's more likely to have a fishing show on one of those.
You're right.
Those
right.
outdoor channels.
Hey, maybe
absolutely.
He'll be now.
Like Deion
Fred.
Sanders. Has.
Yes. Maybe he'll be a greeter at Bass Pro.
They
brought
there you
back.
Go.
That was
Bass
the great outdoors.
Or
something.
That's
what
I'm
saying. Yeah,
they brought Deion back.
No. That was a
that's
remake.
That's how you should get
of,
Bledsoe back, by the way.
But that's
Deion
what they should
Sanders
do.
Deion Sanders on a fishing boat. Now there was a good idea. Who thought of that?
NFL Network should give Brett Favre a show where he just does that stuff, not like breaking down any. Brett
Favre
outdoors.
Fishing
somewhere.
Someone have
yeah,
to break
yeah.
it down for him.
Outdoors with Favre or something like that. Yeah.
That's clever.
Outdoors with Favre.
Tom, you got to get that Bass Pro.
I was trying to register. Yeah. Where's the play on words? Why
fishing,
is that creative?
Fishing with Favre?
Oh, wait,
sometimes
it just
the
isn't.
Most direct approach is the best way.
Okay.
You know?
Really is. All right, the Jets. Spending spree.
Spending spree. What do you guys think of who they've brought in so far?
I don't mind it. I'd rather see them spend money, like we said before, than just sit there. I mean, are they overpaying? Probably. But you can't, like I said, you can't be the Patriots if you're the Jets.
Right.
People
don't
want to
go
there.
They don't have that luxury.
Yeah.
They don't have the luxury of having a 12-game lead over the rest of the division that the Patriots have.
And they got
they have to do something to catch up. So they can't they have to find players that they think are good candidates, and they have to make sure they get them.
They got a better offensive line now, but they still don't have a guy to protect.
That's the thing, like you Paul's know? Been saying. I mean, you can do this, you can do that. Can Kellen Clemens play? We saw a little bit of him. We don't.
Well, we
think
saw
so.
One play.
Yeah.
Of him, so, but I mean, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do without a quarterback. But I will say this: if the offense, and by the way, we should mention, they plan on playing Woody at right tackle. Have you seen
right.
that?
Yeah.
Really.
So that. I don't know if that's. You know,
they're playing a 390-pound guy at left tackle or
right tackle.
Tackle
yeah.
So, you know, but I will say this, Tom. He is a very, very athletic offensive lineman.
Oh,
is
he? I was going to say. Yeah.
Always was. Great feet.
He's played some tackle.
Great feet.
Was that here or in Detroit?
Not here.
I don't think
I always just thought of him
tackle.
As a bigger.
Take the no, Patriots.
He is that, big.
For you fantasy football people, when the Patriots play the Jets, take the Patriots defense.
I bet you he's a better right tackle than DeBrickashaw Ferguson
it
is a left
be
tackle.
Any worse.
And I also bet you he's a better right tackle than Nick Kazier. But, you know, neither here nor there.
Well, of course, because he's not on the Patriots. I mean, you know, I wouldn't expect anything less from you.
I just think he's a better player. I think, how about this, Fred? I think Logan Mankins is a better left guard than Damian Woody
was. Okay, well, what about other teams?
Is that okay?
Is he better
Logan Mankins is a better left guard than Damian Woody was.
Well,
that was an upgrade.
That's good.
How's that? Is that okay with you? I mean, I know that you don't want any analysis on this show. You just want to have,
if there's an opportunity to,
all the moves the Patriots are making, Jason Webster
guy.
And Tank Williams. Yay!
If there's an opportunity to put down
Romeo
the Patriots,
Crimmel.
You'll find Paul. Wherever.
It's unbelievable. You just asked a question and you wanted to analyze the Jets a little bit, and far be it from us, we were actually saying that they might have been made some moves that could help.
I had nothing. I wasn't even talking about the Patriots, but you had to bring them in.
Who brought them in?
It's like when people would say Tom Brady or Drew Bledsoe.
Had a good show going.
Andy,
if you said you liked Tom Brady, you didn't like Drew Bledsoe. If you said you liked Drew Bledsoe, you didn't like Tom Brady.
I will stop here if Andy answers one question for me. We were talking about Damian Woody playing right tackle. Who brought the Patriots in? Fantasy guys,
Fred,
take the Patriots in that
Fred
matchup.
Did. Okay, good. Let's move
you
on.
You brought the Patriots in. That's all I have to say
on,
about
please.
That.
Nick Kazier isn't on the defense of the Jets.
You said.
You brought the Patriots in.
You brought the Patriots in.
I want to ask a question. You just said, Eric said something about they don't have a guy to protect.
Yeah.
I see Florio already speculating that Brady Quinn's going to ask for a trade to the Packers. Why not Brady Quinn to the Jets?
See, I think that's
Romeo,
crazy.
Romeo, Eric Mangini.
To the Packers. I think Aaron Rodgers is their guy.
Brady Quinn's not going anywhere.
A little working relationship there. Maybe Eric Tan, they can put something together. They need
a
quarterback.
That. Why not?
I think that makes a hell of a lot more sense
more
than
sense
going
than,
to Green
right.
Bay.
Yeah.
Where they
but
might
he's
have
not going anywhere. I mean, Phil Savage comes off as the biggest lie. I mean, Rick Pitino-like liar that you would get in the NFL.
Well, you don't trust him.
Based on what he said. Phil Savage?
Got a backpack on.
Well, I mean...
What about Charlie Weiss calling up Cornell as a favor to me? Can you trade him?
No.
Sorry, Charlie.
You know why? Because they have Derek Anderson, who's only done it for 1 year. Why would you trade a guy?
They just paid him a ton of
money. And they just gave him a three-year contract.
Well, sometimes that doesn't work out. You got to go at least one more year before you make a move, Fred.
And Gary said Paul brought the Pats in.
No, I didn't.
Oh, that's what he just said.
Oh, boy. Gary avoids confrontation and runs out the door.
You said... Before Fred said take the defense, you said Kazier is not as good as.
No, I didn't. You can go play it back right now.
I think Paul's right. I think Paul's right, but the point is that, you know.
The
Paul
point is that everything
Paul
the Jets did is wrong.
Thanks, Gary. We had
Paul
moved on.
Paul has now become the defender of the New York
the
Jets.
The guy doesn't
so.
Make a peep the whole show.
I don't look, you're the one who brought the Jets
dragging
into
us
it.
Down to
we were
morass.
Just talking about. The, and
all
the
right,
one thing,
can we move on?
The reason that I started talking about Woody in the first place was because the. Jets, we all admit, don't have the quarterback.
Right.
So they've now brought in Faneca. They have Mangold, who everybody says is really worked
tremendous.
Out at center. Mm-hmm. If Woody can make a transition and Ferguson can be okay at left tackle, they have a decent offensive line. Decent.
Sure.
Okay. Maybe if things work out, you know, I'm talking the high end of their moves, if they all work out, maybe you can suddenly have a running game, which they haven't had for the last couple of years since 04 when Curtis Martin had his last big year. So now all of a sudden, if you can run the ball with Thomas Jones and Leon Washington, maybe the onus isn't as great on the quarterback, and Chad Pennington can be back to what you had 2 years ago, a game manager
mm-hmm.
who doesn't make a lot of mistakes instead of having to throw the ball as much as he did last year where he's going to throw a ton of interceptions. I don't think they're going to be able to compete with the Patriots.
Maybe they go 10-6 and get a wild
yeah,
card.
Like
that's
they did 2 years
right,
ago.
That's what they're looking for.
That's what
for.
I'm talking about. And you see that a lot in the NFL. You see, you know, a team that's not that talented make some strides, get
yeah.
good, then take a step back.
Look at the Packers.
And then, you know, they come forward again. San Diego did it a couple of years ago, too. They got good, and they didn't make the playoffs, and they came back. I'm not saying the Jets are going to challenge the Patriots because they're not. And I think the Patriots, you can... Right now, you could pencil them in for 6 wins in that division because no one's going to beat them.
I don't know. That defense still needs some help.
I don't think they need that defense against that division. That's the big
but
thing.
What offense is in the division is going to take? I mean,
no,
look
I'm
at the offense.
Thinking overall.
No one, you know, no one in that division can put
Trent
enough
Edwards,
points on the board.
Question mark and question mark, you think are just going to march up and down the field against even a bad defense? I mean, see, that's, the other two teams don't have quarterbacks right now.
That's why if I'm the Jets, I look at what they did, and I agree with you, Fred. I think they spent a lot of money, and they were free spending. And some of the moves I don't think would have been right moves for the Patriots to do because they didn't have to. But the Jets had to do something.
Right.
They have to hope that four, five, six things that they did, they need four, of the, you know, three or four of them to pan
well,
out.
That's the thing.
They need them to pan
that's
out.
That's a dramatic turnover.
Yes.
If you're a Jets fan, you have to feel good.
Otherwise, you're going to be right back where you were last
they're
year,
trying.
12 games behind trying. The division
they're making an effort.
You think, yes. you think the Patriots Jets, can afford to be patient and right. pick no, the guys they want? Can't. The Jets can't do that.
You think the Jets take a QB if, like, say, Brom or even Ryan falls to six?
Yeah.
No.
If Ryan falls to six, you don't take him if you're the Jets?
I think there's a great chance Ryan
wouldn't?
Falls to six, and I don't think the Jets are going to draft him.
I don't think those guys are that good.
What about Brom?
If I could get Brom in the top, you know, the sixth pick of the second round, sure.
Second round pick, if Matt Ryan's there, I think they take him in a heartbeat.
How about this other guy? Frankie, whatever his name is.
Joe Flacco.
Wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole.
You know what I was
God,
talking
no.
about.
God, no.
I don't take guys. Sorry, Paul. I don't take guys from Delaware. Who
you don't have to apologize to me. I told you I didn't think he was that great.
Who don't look good against Appalachian State in the
What about
high
Chad Henne?
No.
No?
Stiff.
Brom and Ryan are the two best. And if you're not, I mean, we're not reaching for these other guys.
Yeah, you know, but, we you just know, brought up Florio. Florio actually has a scenario that Matt Ryan doesn't get taken in the first round.
I've heard that as well.
So if you're saying, no, I'm not saying Mike Florio is the be-all, end-all when it comes to talent evaluation because he's not. That's not what he's paid for.
He
it's not what he does.
People, though.
But my point is if you can even make an argument that he's not a first-round pick and you're going to take him in the top three, I think there's something wrong with that. I don't think he's that good. I think it's Alex Smith all over again.
Right.
God knows I hate to agree with Jamie Dukes, but he did say something that I kind of agree with during the combine. When you see Jamarcus Russell, like his physical attributes, he warranted being taken number one. Like even if you had some doubts about him, you look at his arm strength, you look at how strong he is in the pocket, he had all those things you look for. Now whether he puts it together, you don't know. But guys like Matt Ryan, he doesn't have that. You know what I mean? He doesn't have the phenomenal arm strength. He's just a good quarterback. And should he be the first pick in the draft? I don't think so. I don't think he's good enough to take a chance on.
He's at the right place at the right time.
Yes.
Right. You know?
If this was a heavy, like a good quarterback draft, Ryan would be a second-round pick probably. Brom would
that's,
be a,
that's how
be
I'm feeling about
pick.
It. I don't think
and he'd
you
have
can,
a great career because he wouldn't have the expectations of being
I don't think
top
you can skyrocket
pick.
The guy just because he happens to be the best in a weak crop. I think that's what happened to Alex Smith. And I think Alex Smith has some talent. I don't think he's a stiff, but he never should have been the number one overall pick. Never. And that was the big contrast was the 04 year where you had Rivers and Manning and Roethlisberger. All of those guys would have been taken well before Alex Smith. And Alex Smith was the top overall pick.
Yeah, we don't know about Kellen Clemens, but in another year, Kellen Clemens and Matt Ryan will be battling for a draft spot. They would have been in the same type of class.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yep.
I don't know how much of an upgrade.
And
it
I don't
be
know how much, you know, I didn't watch the Jets last year closely. I don't know, you know, how sure they are that Kellen Clemens is not the guy. We saw him play two plays, so we don't know. You know,
I was pretty sure based on those two plays.
he got blitzed and he got absolutely walloped on that interception. I mean,
he shouldn't have.
Brady's had some bad plays, too, and if those were all you saw.
I mean, if
play in Miami, I would have said, boy, that guy can't play.
How about
play
if the right, only play you saw was the first play of the season 2 years ago against Buffalo, and he gets stripped from Miami? That's basically what happened to Kellen Clemens, only Brady didn't get hurt because he never gets hurt. The guy's indestructible. Knock
but
on wood.
Getting back
Devil
to,
can do that for you.
What's that?
Did you read about Brady making out in the basement of the wine cellar?
I heard that they might have film of that, but it was completely, you know, discredited by the people who own the wine
Obviously,
cellar.
Who would lose their elite clientele if they knew they were getting taped down there. It's some creep like
I'm
Paul
sure
who works there who's watching these videos.
The guy's unbelievable.
They've got to have cameras because, I mean, this stuff is
What's
expensive
he doing
wine.
Make it out in a wine cellar? What is he, 15?
Well, you remember they used to do it out on like a patio.
Just so you know, I don't think they were making out.
Remember my... Yeah, I think there might have been some
then I'm okay
oral pleasure involved.
Well, that's fine. But making out is just stupid.
Damn right.
Remember making... They make out all the time, though. They might.
I hate that.
Remember by the pool? They were by the pool somewhere
Public
and there was video.
He's lucky, he's not in a video store with me or I'd go right up to him and give him a shot.
That's where my whole theory that they weren't having sex came from. They were acting like high school kids who don't have sex.
I didn't know you had a theory about
that. Yeah, you know when you're like 15, 14, you're not having sex yet and you're making out a lot? That's because you're not having sex. Once you reach the age where you're actually having sex, you don't make out. You go right to the sex.
I haven't kissed my wife in a year.
Exactly. That's just a waste of time. You want to get to the finish line.
If we were on real radio, we'd all be so fired.
You must be a real satisfier in bed.
We'd be so rich, it wouldn't be funny. Instead, we got to beg for lunch. Great job today, guys, by the way.
By the way, you stepped up.
I just blame Gary. We had two lunches in one day instead of spreading them out over two.
What do you guys think of this?
Why is my name on these slips,
by the way? It's like I said to you, Andy. He really takes off-season to mean off-season.
Literally.
Well, it's funny when I picked that up.
In August.
Look how mad he is.
You know, Paul, your name is on all the slips. And when I picked it up, the security guy go, boy, that Paul Perillo has a lot of food, huh?
Yeah.
Boy, that Paul Perillo.
Hey, hey, hey.
Fred's got more energy today than he's had in a year.
Somehow when Fred does it, though, it's not quite as insulting as when you do it.
Speaking of teams overpaying, what do you guys think of this? The Raiders actually came out and said that some of the deals that they're signing these players to aren't actually as expensive as they seem to be. And Florio, I think it was Florio, said that's unprecedented that a team would actually start explaining deals in the media.
You mean the Raiders did something stupid? Mm. Let me put it this way to you, Fred. The Dallas Cowboys were looking into trading for Javon Walker. They weren't sure if he could pass the physical. And they weren't giving him 16 million. So they were thinking about trading for a guy they weren't even sure could make the team to pass the physical. The Raiders gave him 16 million up front.
Well, the Raiders did it because he came from the Broncos, and they hate the Broncos, and they'll do anything.
But the Broncos were trying to get rid of him.
I know, but they feel Walker will have incentive to play well against the Broncos.
The Raiders did it because they're a debacle
they're
of an organization.
They're a bunch of
their head coach.
I know your point, Fred.
Their owner is a senile old man.
Al Davis is nuts.
He is. It's sad to see.
That was probably his rationale.
That's exactly right.
It is sad. Right. Tom, you're right.
It's a very complex
because
proposal.
The Raiders are one of the most hated teams in the league, and I always believe hated teams should be good because it's good for football. Like, Patriot fans hate the Raiders, but they don't care about them right now. They're nothing. I mean, when they play them this year.
I still do.
But when they play them this year.
I'll never let that go.
You're not going to really
but
care.
But you don't care.
Because they're going to kill them. They're going
to
kill
them. I don't want them to get good.
On your list of the guys that you want to get hurt every year.
Yeah.
There's like 100 before you get to any Raiders.
Yeah, there's no Raiders.
But that's my point, Fred. If they are good, you really care because you hate them so much.
Right.
First of all, if you have 53 Colts get lopped off.
But I'm not
the
kind of guy that once I have a guy down on the floor, I'm going to take my foot off his throat. My foot stays on the Raiders' throat. I don't want them getting up.
But you understand what I'm saying. It's good for football when they're good because people like you really hate them.
Right.
And you care every game they play because you want them to lose.
I also think it's sad because Al Davis, right? He's lost it. Whatever he's doing now. But this is a guy who was really, 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 really with it.
He was a great coach and a great administrator.
And now he's just the laughingstock for 10 plus years.
He doesn't have kids.
The laughingstock of the league.
I think he does. I thought he had a daughter, at least one, but I don't know if they're estranged.
I actually think, you're going to probably get mad at me, but I think there was a lot of similarities between Al Davis and his mentality and Belichick. Just, like, didn't really care what other people thought, doesn't care about the league, doesn't care about
the rules.
Yeah, that's kind of accurate.
Yeah, no, I mean, the way he, like, goes about his business, he knows his way was right.
Yeah.
He was very confident that what he was doing was
the
right thing, and the rest of the league hated him, and I think there's some similarities.
It's not a bad comparison the more we get into it.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, I was at the game.
He would get mad at me.
He'll die alone and lonely, which are the same.
Let's just hope for Bill's sake, later on in his life goes a little bit different than Al's because...
Yeah, I just think the guy has lost it. He should be out of football. He should have been out for 10 years.
And he has, but the problem is he doesn't have anybody else. There's no one in that organization to take over, and Al, I'm doing this.
Have you ever heard Al Davis talk? He says he bleeds silver and black. Right. He loves the Raiders. If you love them that much and can no longer do it, sell it to somebody who can for the good of the organization and the fans in the Bay Area.
And they have great fans. I mean, these people are die hard.
Now, Fred, let me ask you a question. Why are the Raider fans so good and the Niner fans so bad?
I don't know.
Blue collar versus white collar.
I think
collar.
It is. Blue collar are more loyal.
I think that's right.
It's more loyal.
Straight versus.
Yeah.
What? You know.
So I think Eric was right. I think it's a blue collar, and I think typically the blue collar guy is the more passionate fan. Yeah. Don't you think?
Yeah.
Their team's going to rally.
It's like the wine and cheese crowd that took over the Celtics in the mid 80s, and the crowd wasn't anywhere near as good.
The same crowd that's here now?
Absolutely. Because that's the only people that can afford to go to games nowadays.
Okay,
that took a turn for the worse.
That's not a New England. That's a nationwide thing. Yeah, it's nothing to do with the Patriots or anybody else.
Paul Perillo ripping ticket price increases.
All right, well, it's 1 o'clock. We need to take a break, and we'll be right back.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo! And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
He's been a three-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
Three touchdown passes in the first half.
Now, Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free exclusively from the New England Patriots. This authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pre-game field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. It's hard to yell when the bat rails in your mouth. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out.
All right, back here in PFW in progress, and Gary reminds me that Matt from Oregon's on the phone. Matt, how you doing?
How's it going, guys?
Good.
Woo.
What's up, man? Is there an echo? Sorry, I'm in a stairwell. Let me step outside.
You're in a stairwell?
Sorry. I'm at work and I didn't want to, you know, bother other people.
Nice.
Are you in the middle of escaping from prison?
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, a couple of things. First of all, I want to give kudos to Eric. He did a hell of a job. Hell of a job on Tuesday. He gets made fun of way too much, I think.
Thanks,
all right.
Matt. I disagree.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate
That's
it.
Nice.
You're standing alone because a lot of emails we got said it was the worst show in the history of a PFW
product. Yeah, yeah.
I think he's great as the host, Matt.
Thank you, Matt.
Well, he's an easy target, but I think he did a good job.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Eric. Secondly, I've emailed in a couple of times, totally non-football related, but Andy has mentioned several times that he would like to try some elk. I'm coming home this summer, and I'm bringing some elk with me. I'd be happy to bring some over to you guys if
Wait,
you guys want.
Why are you bringing elk with you?
I had elk before.
Elk?
You okay, travel with elk?
I'll be bringing it back from my family anyway, so I figured I could bring some for you guys.
I'll try some elk.
What's
I'll
it taste like? Chicken?
Yeah. Tastes just like
no,
chicken.
It tastes kind of like beef. It's a little better.
So do you grill it?
Yeah, you grill it. Yep.
Elk.
The whole thing with like elk is the preparation. Like, I had it, you know, like with
the
pepper.
The guy knows everything.
You know about elk?
No, with the peppercorn around it, and it tasted really good.
Yeah, The one thing is, it's really easy to overdo, so you can't overcook it because then it just tastes horrible.
You eat a lot of elk out there?
Elk?
Oh yeah, tons of it.
So now is that like when we go deer hunting here? Is it like elk there?
Elk?
Yeah. You can go deer or elk out here.
Hey, do you buy it or do you shoot it?
By the way, which part of we goes deer hunting?
So Matt, you have your cow license. That's what it's called, right?
Well, this year I had a bull license, a cow license, and a deer license.
So, oh, wow.
I love it when he does this.
Well, my sister used to live in Deary, Idaho.
You know what he
there
is? He's the me of politics. And so he knows this much. He throws the three things that he knows, and all of a sudden he's in a conversation.
Your sister was an elk hunter?
No, her husband, they'd go out, you get your quota, you get your license, and you're allowed to kill like one or two or three.
That's all I have to say about that.
And then you cut it all up, and you got your meat for the winter.
Is that what you do, Matt?
We got a big chest freezer full of meat right now.
Yeah.
How are you bringing this home? How's it not going to spoil on the trip?
Actually, if you wrap it up right, it stays frozen. You know, the 6-hour plane flight, it's still solid as a rock when you get home.
Elk.
All right. I look forward to my first elk experience.
There you go. Now, my football question.
Oh, you had a football question?
I do have a football question. Richard Seymour. He was injured this year. You know, there's all kinds of excuses, but he's supposed to be this big game-changing guy, and you know, we haven't seen that in a couple of years. What do you guys think?
Well, if you're going to take the positive perspective, you say he was hurt,
right?
Or you say since he got paid, he ain't done crap.
Yeah, the negative side would be that once he got his contract extension, he's been far less productive.
I think
he doesn't have the injury excuse next year.
Well, I think the one thing that we've all kind of agreed on is that he lacks consistent self-motivation.
That's the thing I was going to say,
which is
Fred.
A problem.
You know, the problem I have with Seymour is every now and then you see the real Richard Seymour when he's motivated. Mm. So that tells me he's taken some time off himself. Like, it's not just injury, because when he feels like playing, he's still throwing people around like rag dolls, and he's got to find a way to get up for every single game and play that way, because we know that he can.
That's what bothers me about him, is that he can't get himself up for every game.
I mean, this is our speculation. We don't
know
that.
Well, Fred,
that's our observation.
If you're willing to go all in here, we know Richard Seymour is very aware about what is said about him in the media, and I say we do season preview issue. Where has Richard Seymour been? Right on the cover. That'll just give him a fire under
his
butt.
Fred just decided he wasn't all in.
That'll light a fire under his butt. He'll have 12 sacks. You know, the team paper calling him out on the
cover. The problem with that is that coming off a year where he did have an injury, you know,
doesn't matter. If you're Mr. Patriot, if the end result is Richard Seymour with 12 sacks, 90 tackles, 3 forced fumbles.
Let's expose Fred as a fraud. Is that
what
you're saying?
Well, we've done that on many of occasions.
Is that what you're trying to do?
Wait a minute. You found a way that we could just put it on you? I'm all for it then.
Right.
At first, I wasn't really crazy about the idea.
See, Andy knows that we're not going to do that.
Right.
Because you never let us do anything.
I think that story's a great idea. Just steer clear of him in the locker room.
Right, watch this. Hey, Andy, why don't you write the story?
I'll write it.
Okay.
I won't write the story because I'm biased. He's one of my favorite guys.
I'll write it.
It's also hard to steer clear because his locker's right near the door.
I have an agenda. I like the guy.
I think it's a legitimate question. We've been talking about it for 2 years.
Look, it's a fact.
He has not played well the last two seasons. I think that's an accurate analysis. Relative to what his standards,
yes, right,
he hasn't played up.
And the money they're paying.
And he's paid to his standards.
Right. So, but, you know, this, coming off that particular season, he did have the injury. So, you know.
Right.
What about
the year
before?
You know, he intimated that he was never 100%. So,
and I also think there might be something to this injury that caused some problems in terms of diagnosis. I don't think that from what some people have told me, there was some contradiction, kind of like the Schilling thing. The team wanted him to do something. He didn't necessarily think that was the right thing to do, and I think that they wasted some time trying to figure out a plan of attack in terms of his rehab, and I don't think that went anywhere near as smoothly as anyone thought it would or hoped it would, and it lingered all the way into the season. I mean, I don't know, you know, you might be able to say he won't have that as an excuse next year, but I don't know if we will or not. I don't know what his knee feels like. Only he knows that.
Right, right. But he's got a huge contract that he's supposed to be living up to.
That's right. And he hasn't lived up to it. As Andy pointed out, he's paid like an elite defensive lineman, not like a guy that was drafted and playing on a rookie contract. He's paid as high as, any of the interior defensive linemen, and he hasn't played up to that level.
I'm not available. Well, all right. Well, thanks, guys.
Okay.
Are you still hosting this show?
All right. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks,
we look forward to that elk. as I like to say. And in light of Matt's call, Gary gave me today's Urban Dictionary phrase of the day, the Oregon Snail Trail. Oregon Snail Trail.
You can only imagine.
It's not good.
No.
Let me see.
A lot it's of emails about Eric's hosting on Tuesday.
Oh,
Keith
boy.
Says Eric actually did a decent job hosting the show this past Tuesday. However, Andy, Paul, and Tom could wind up sleeping with the fishes if they don't lay off their hazing on Eric. Don't you guys know it's the quiet ones that are dangerous?
Well, plus he's from the mean streets of Greenwich, Connecticut. I mean, the mean street posse. I didn't know those rich boarding schools. You know how hard it is for those kids.
I mean, I don't know if you know what it's like at the St. Paul school.
Yeah.
I can see Eric getting fed up with all your crap one of these days and going postal on you guys.
We can, too.
Well, the first half of that already happened months ago.
Well, it's like I said, I think he could take me because if he got mad, I would start laughing so hard. If he charged me, I wouldn't have a chance.
Be careful. He might come to work one day with a nine that he charged at Bass Pro Shop onto Fred's preferred customer account. Eric, Bass Pro even sells vision night vision goggles if you prefer to ambush your coworkers in the dark instead. Just kidding, but you never know in this day and age. On to the draft. Who are your top five linebackers, corners, and tight ends?
I got the linebacker stuff here if you want me to go over
okay,
a couple.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I started looking at the linebackers. Dan Connor, he can't play. I'm sorry. I know I always get down on the Penn State linebackers, but watching him, then watching Keith Rivers after him, it was like watching two different guys play the position. He's just slow.
Actually, it was.
Actually, that's exactly what it was.
Well, I mean, two different, you know what I mean.
He was head issues, too.
He was just slow. And I think Keith Rivers is a possibility at seven because I can see him moving
you
inside.
You know the Dan Connor film was in slow motion.
Oh, okay.
But that's not funny, Fred.
A couple guys that I liked were I really like Bo Bell from UNLV. He's a guy I watched another guy from BYU, Brian Kell. He was just you could tell he was a Mountain West linebacker. Yeah. He was just a guy. When I watched Bo Bell, he looked like a guy who should have been playing in the SEC. A lot of athleticism. He's the type of guy I want here, someone who can play that way. And two guys I don't know if they'll fit in the system, but I like what I saw were Hall from Virginia Tech, Vince Hall. I don't like a DB. I like Hall, though. He got off blocks very well. I think he could play here. Gerard Mayo is a guy. You look at him, he never has the size. He doesn't have this. He doesn't have that. But he's just always around the ball, making plays. And Henderson from Maryland was another guy that I liked. And Goff from Vanderbilt. So those were some of the guys. But Connor, not so high on. Rivers, possibility at seven. Two third-round picks. Watch out for Bo Bell sneaking around the chicken coop.
I think Mayo was one of those guys that said that he had some talks already with
well, he's just a player. He's one of those guys I think Bill would like, regardless of size, because he plays with high intensity. He's always around the football, and I think he could fit well in any system.
All right. Shane in Miami, talking a little bit about Seymour. I'll get into it in a second. He says, now that the Pats have let Samuel go, they have little room on the cap. They have a little room on the cap because it doesn't appear there are any decent free agents left. I hope the Patriots decide to re-sign some of their current players to extensions. Vince Wilfork would be the most expensive, but he is the most important defensive lineman on the team, and he is still young. Seymour is grossly overpaid. He has been one of the most overrated ends in the league the last 3 years, although you guys defend him no matter what. I would rather keep Wilfork than Seymour.
That's inaccurate.
James Sanders
no matter what.
Should be
he
a
wrote this obviously before we went on that.
But no,
we've
been slamming the guy for 2 years.
James Sanders should be a priority as well. Get him signed now, not after this season when he's worth even more. Don't laugh, but even Ellis Hobbs should be resigned at the right price.
I'm laughing.
He knows the system.
I'm laughing
is
at
not
both
as,
of those, to be honest with you. You can resign either one of those guys anytime you want for whatever you want.
He is not as bad as you guys make him out to be. Overall, I think the Patriots have done relatively well at re-signing players before they become free agents. But once again, like 06, they look to have cap room to work with. Any comments?
Yeah.
Shane in Miami.
Shane, Mr. Scout, why isn't Hobbs as bad as we say he is? Guy plays 15 yards off the ball, which means that he limits what you can do defensively. Plus, not only does he play 15 yards off the ball, he needs help over the top most of the time with a safety.
Yep.
Meanwhile, Samuel's covering an entire side of the field by himself, but we don't want to pay him because he's a little bit overrated. I just don't get that kind of thinking at all.
Yeah,
you could
it's
find,
clear that he uses money. It's all based on money, though, because Hobbs doesn't make any money.
So
he's okay.
You can
don't
find,
tell me Hobbs is better with money aside than Seymour. Seymour's been bad for the $30
right.
million, dollars, but if he was making Hobbs money, he'd be way
you
better.
You could find 30 guys in the NFL to do what Ellis Hobbs does.
And you know, I think that we're probably somewhere, we're probably right somewhere in the middle because We have guys, you know, Fred, you talked about it earlier. You know, we're just going to bash the Patriots no matter what. You know, whatever the, whoever the Patriot is, we're going to put him down. Now, this guy says we're going to defend the Patriot,
right.
Seymour, no matter what, and whatever it is, we're going to back him up. We're probably somewhere in the middle and doing the way we're supposed to be doing.
Freddie, you're pro-Patriot. If this is – I'm just saying. You're
Why
the
do you
typical
get mad? I don't
Homer
understand.
Viewpoint. Well, can I finish my question before you get mad?
I'm pro-Patriot.
I just want to know.
It is what it is.
If they basically don't do much more, they draft and they, you know, try to get some players, but they re-sign Vince Wilfork, will you be happy, content, good offseason?
I think that's good that they did that, and I think it's smart because Wilfork, I think, is a player, but the defense needs help.
Okay, that's all I wanted to
say. Here's the thing I wanted to bring up to you guys. The re-signing of Vince Wilfork. You've seen what these defensive tackles have made this year. Now, Vince is a guy that, in my opinion, is going to want money when it's his time. Mm-hmm. It's going to cost a lot of money to keep Wilfork. Do you think they're going to shell out that kind of cash for him? Because look at it with these other guys.
They have on the defensive line. That's the only thing I can say.
Well, there's this guy coming out of the draft. I think he's out of Fresno State. He's like 370. He's a nose tackle. And they say he's got huge upside. I forget his name.
Is this from our last?
Yeah, it is. But
I know who you're talking about.
But you have a young.
He was one of the guys I wrote down because he played for Fresno State.
I was going to say, if he's from Fresno State and he's a nose tackle, then there's a chance they'll be interested. What kind of pick is he?
I don't know. I don't know where he was projected, but, you know.
It's from our lads? Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Sorry. What is the rookie pool? Roughly for the Patriots, what will that be? Do you have any idea?
No,
because I don't think they have a tremendous amount of cap space.
No,
they have enough if they wanted to extend Vince Wilfork. No question.
It also depends whether the little Brady thing was before or after.
They had $22 million in cap space, and you know they've made some moves. I mean, they haven't all been.
And by
huge
the way,
moves,
getting rid of Samuel doesn't add to that.
No,
he was a free agent.
No,
it would have subtracted from that
if they
had signed
him.
Right,
but they, you know. I don't know. They had to have used up about half of that anyway, no?
Well, they're giving Jabari Gaffney $2
million
a pop. That's eating away at
it. Well, let me ask you this. If they draft Cedric Ellis, is Wilfork gone?
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, at the in Mobile, Arlette said he was head and shoulders above anyone on the field.
Who?
Cedric Ellis.
Oh, yeah. Mobile? Yeah. They couldn't block him.
Yeah. I was thinking of a gas station.
The gas station
they
too.
Call it Mobile.
Mobile.
But,
I call it Mobile, friend. The gas station?
No,
we're talking about Mobile, Alabama.
Oh. We call
he said mobile.
Oh, okay.
And he meant Mobile.
The guy at the gas station told him he was going to be taken in the front.
I confused myself.
They could not block him. But I'm just wondering, if they take Ellis, you got to figure they're not going to give Vince Wilfork all the money that he wants, right? Because how many guys can you pay on the defensive line?
Well, that's the
question
thing
I've been asking
about
for years.
Too, because they gave Seymour good money. They gave Warren good money.
Seymour, great money.
And I agree with you, Tom. I think Wilfork's going to want more than good money.
Yeah.
And
he should. He's like Richard Seymour in that he can play anywhere. His skills translate
to
any
system.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know.
I think he wants it, and I think he can sell himself to about 31 other
But the
teams.
Other thing, too, Andy, is I agree he could play anywhere, but he's a 3-4 nose tackle, and those teams that play the 3-4, they're thirsting for those guys.
Right.
Like
yeah, but don't you
Wilfork.
Think he could play defensive tackle? Too?
Yeah, but I'm saying, don't you think a 3-4 team might give him even more money?
Yes, but I think that's why the price will go so high, because you'll have Romeo Crennel saying he's my 3-4 nose.
You don't think
you'll have some other Tampa guy saying he can play the tackle?
Warren Sapp, Tampa 2 defensive tackle.
You know what that means?
That's what I'm saying. I think he could be one of the highest paid.
And he's certainly not a guy who goes, you know what? I like New England. I'll play for $5 million.
By the way, how long are we going here with this Favre press conference?
Well, they just brought his wife out. I kind of like his wife.
He's still on?
Yeah. Yeah, his wife was out there.
They brought his wife out.
I like her.
She's kind of hot.
He's got what I like. I tell you,
boobs
are in
about.
These days.
What are you talking about?
What's going on, Fred?
I got the Fresno State roster here, but I can't find the
guy. Gary, go to NFL Draft Countdown and print out the defensive tackles. He's on there.
Just a quick combine note. Did I know that Pat Hill was rumored to be the head coach of the Raiders? A lot of rumblings that Al Davis likes Pat Hill. And
why
I've
did
never
he give
heard
him the
that.
Job gotta, before that?
Yeah. I don't know.
Or get rid, you know. Jeez.
Well, because he met Lance and just fell in love.
I don't know. Did you see yesterday when the Brett Favre stuff, they had Frank Caliendo on doing his John Madden.
That was excellent.
About Brett Favre.
I was listening to that on the radio. I couldn't tell the difference.
What are we going
to
do? I mean, forgetting the fact that he doesn't.
I mean, he was thinking, okay, we get the extra. Whoa, what happened?
He's like, he's like, what's the NFL without Brett Favre? I mean, you know, with his 10 or 12 Super Bowls that he's won, what are we going to do without him? And he just does it so perfectly.
That guy can
imitate.
Then he goes,
intimidate.
He can intimidate people. He goes, who are we going to love now? Tony Romo? It doesn't work. I don't know.
More comments.
We should tell Pat Hill to recruit outside the state of California just once. Every guy on here is from California.
Well, you know, that's not uncommon.
No, that's
if you look at Virginia,
definitely not uncommon.
You know, in Virginia Tech, all
they
those
have
guys.
Nobody?
Well, and if California is the state you're recruiting from,
I know,
from,
you're
that's
doing
not
okay.
Bad.
It's not like they're recruiting from Rhode Island.
And it is a state.
Ah, nice.
Yeah,
well done.
See, you like that? You like that?
It is a state university, too, in California, so probably
that's,
get some.
That's
some,
indeed.
But money also plays a factor. They probably have some guys there.
Believe
that,
me, I know. The guy whines that he's got
yes,
the smallest program in the
but
country.
That's what I was getting at. See, like USC,
half
UCLA,
hour into it, you're like, all right, all right. You face hurdles that other schools don't. Let's
we'll
move
play
on.
Anybody anywhere. We
but
don't
they
care.
Don't have to worry about that stuff because those guys are lining up to play at UCLA. But Fresno State doesn't have that luxury.
More comments on Eric's performance on Tuesday. I need to feel I need to clarify the stupid comment by Eric on Tuesday. You know, I sometimes think the guys are cruel to Eric for being so smug, but I'm starting to agree.
Good.
When Eric decided to try to explain exponential to Tom as the exponent on Tuesday, I almost fell off my chair. It's not that he was wrong, because many people forget grade school math, but it was how he thinks he's right, even though he sounds like an idiot.
I agree.
To say something is growing exponentially means that if you plotted out the line, it would be curved up, as opposed to growing linearly, which be a straight line. The exponent, or e, on a calculator is just shorthand for the power of 10.
That there would be no
that
math.
Is 1,000 is the same as 1e3. Please, Eric, just take the arrogance down a notch.
Or 5.
It's okay that you guys are completely wrong when predicting the draft, but at least now we can say you're mathematically accurate. Just kidding, Tom. I'm looking forward to the quotes Gary will get from you after this year's draft.
I just don't understand football, I guess.
That's Brian in
no,
Chapel Hill,
North Carolina.
No, he
gets the quotes before the draft, and then they become funny.
Well, let's be honest, though. We hit some.
Of course.
We hit some.
And we're never going to hear about those.
Those don't make for funny bits, though.
I think we do a pretty good job of hitting on guys, especially in the middle rounds. That's where I'm the proudest of what we do because, you know, anybody can tell you that Adrian Peterson's going
to
be good.
But not everybody tells you to look out for Schmidt, the tight end out of San Diego State, who'll be available next year.
Roger says,
hard to find on the roster, too.
Roger says he just started looking at our radio show, so he doesn't know our names.
Should
but
listen.
Who was the one that said Oklahoma fans were a bunch of rednecks?
That's me.
That was Tom.
That'd be Redneck Jr.
He
over
thinks
here.
That's funny. So anyway.
We got a strippers.
That was the email?
Strippers is
that was the one that just said LOL.
Strippers drummed up a little rivalry with me and Oklahoma fans right. on one of his thousands of message boards.
From which he's been banned.
Yeah. I don't know how he has time to listen to us.
Oh, Gary, was I supposed to read this strippers? There's a stripper sent in a list of Butkus winners over the last 20 years and how it's just not OU linebackers who are busts. It's everybody, basically.
Okay. Well,
it's like 4 out of every 5.
I think we've pretty
guys
much.
Guys I never heard of.
But
I don't think we say anything about Butkus award winning
no,
linebackers from
much,
Oklahoma.
Mark Clayton, first round draft pick. He's okay.
He's okay.
Mark Bradley, second round draft pick. Stinks. Never done anything. I mean, if you look at the Oklahoma players drafted, it's hard to argue.
Across the board, they're better in college than they are in the pros.
Yes.
Across the board.
And you're talking about a guy who used to root for Oklahoma like I rooted for the Cowboys. I love the Sooners, but if you look at it objectively, their guys do not translate well over. And I was asking strippers for his opinion. I wasn't trying to start a border war
and
with
the only,
Oklahoma.
Yeah, all of a sudden you're Texas. I didn't really mean anything by it either. I was just saying that it was more out of respect because they're so good,
right?
At the major college level, they're so good. But why do their guys not really seem to be
who's
individually succeeding?
Colorado, Alfred Williams. Who's he? Never heard of him.
What year?
1990, Colorado Butkus Award winner.
The name sounds familiar, but I can't picture him.
He's not a bust, according to this.
Don't know him.
He probably goes by a nickname.
Al.
I don't know.
Right.
Mike in South Carolina says he helped coach Jeremy Gathers, is it from UNLV?
Yeah.
Helped coach him in high school, and he's wondering if there's any interest with the Patriots in him.
We haven't heard anything yet. I mean, we'll certainly look into that more. Where did he coach him in high school?
Yeah. or help.
And we should probably, you know, get some, you know, as we're heading into the draft season now, we should probably get something right out in the open. We do not know any players, specific players that the Patriots are interested in.
Oh, yeah.
And nor does anybody else other than the Patriots themselves. So anybody that tells you, oh, yeah, I talked to so-and-so and the Patriots are interested in this player, they're lying to you.
Because
I mean, it's flat out. I'm
scouting
just telling
them
you.
Doesn't mean they're interested. They scout everybody.
I'm flat out telling you, there's no way the Patriots are telling anybody the players that they're truly right. interested in. They just don't do that.
Well, if a guy came for an interview and then he told some
means
friends,
nothing.
Doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't mean anything.
They'll
because
have,
you can bring
they'll have
in.
Countless yeah, people right, in for right. interviews. No, some of them they'll be interested in, and some of them
right,
they won't.
Right, they might bring him in for the interview, Fred, but then they might hate him.
Right,
but,
right. after the interview.
yeah,
right. And this, but there is a limit on the amount of kids right. that teams can bring
right,
in.
Out of the area. I forget what it is, but you're right. There is a limit.
Isn't it like 30? Something like that?
Something. I don't know.
30.
Matt and Quincy.
Plus, they probably met with hundreds at the combine right. already.
Mm. Right.
Matt and Quincy, I was listening to last Thursday's show and heard the cranium echoing that what I was saying
you.
On the blog during
hey.
The combine. I, too, believe that the 40 times were artificially fast.
Yeah, 36 yards.
36 yards I'm going with.
I think we can all agree, whether we like it or not, the 40-yard dash seems to be the most important measurable for most skill position players in deciding where they'll get drafted. I happen to think that quickness is more important for skill players than speed, and therefore believe that the cone drill and shuttle drills are better barometers. But as long as teams continue to place such a high value on the 40, maybe we can figure out a way to do it so that you get an accurate measure of a player's speed as opposed to his quickness off the line.
Never happened.
From now on, they should have the players start 10 yards behind the starting line and then start the clock when the guy runs through the starting line to when he finishes.
What are we in the Arena League here? We got forward motion?
At both ends, you could use race track technology to get an exact time for each player. Again, since this drill is about speed, there would be no controversy about a person being slow off the line. It would measure pure speed.
But we need to know slow off the line because football starts from a dead stop.
Right. That's part of the thing that we're trying to acquire.
And you're never going to change it.
And I said, Fred, use your power to make this happen and don't laugh. Last year I suggested to you guys that the draft should be shortened to 10, 7, and 5 minutes. You guys said it could never happen because of trades and whatnot. About 3 weeks later, that is exactly what happened.
That's a bunch of crap because we've been complaining about the time of the rounds for the draft since I've been here, and that's 99. There's no way we all poo-pooed that.
Gary, I'll have to pull the tape. I don't know.
Yeah, I can't find exactly.
We might have said that they won't do it, but we didn't poo-poo it.
I can't find exactly where it was, but I wrote on one linebacker doesn't lose speed. Like, you know what I mean? Like, when he turns around, he doesn't lose speed. And then for Sean Crable, his reaction is so bad that it doesn't matter what he runs.
Right.
Like, those are things that you have to look for. That's why I think the 40 time, it's hard to judge. Because when guys turn and run, the ones that don't lose speed, they keep that 40 time that they have. But a guy like Crable, who I was watching, he was reacting so slow on plays. It doesn't matter how fast he is because the guy's going to beat him to the spot. So I think it's just tough to take a 40 time. And again, like if a Kayson ran a 5.2, or he's slow, he can't play corner. Like that we get. But a 4.5, a 4.4, does it make that much of
no,
a difference?
It doesn't.
And
it's funny. You thought Crable was really bad, slow and reactive because he makes a ton of plays.
Yeah, I just like sometimes he played with his hand down and he didn't look good to me on tape. But like I said, watching him during the season, he looked
yeah,
good. So
yeah, that's true.
The guy you were thinking of, Fred, Jason. Shitley.
What?
Shirley.
Oh, Shirley.
Yeah, Jason,
oh,
Shirley. Look,
that's an R?
That's it.
Oh, okay.
Jason Shirley.
You're right.
It does look like a T.
That's the guy.
I got our friend Shirley.
He's the 19th ranked defensive tackle on NFL draft countdown. He's 6'5", 330.
Okay.
So did you say 370?
He's a late round.
I thought he was heavier than that. Yeah.
It could very well be. They, you know, the way
Frank Husha. From Old Hickory, Tennessee, says he was born and raised in Stoneham, Mass. Any of you heard anything on the current condition status of Sammy Morris? The guy looked rock solid until he got injured against Dallas. Loved the way he lowered his shoulder to deliver the first blow on a run, reminiscent of Dylan and Zonka, for that matter. But with more speed, can we count on Morris being ready for camp in the 08 season?
Yes.
I would say so.
Things are looking good, I guess.
He said nothing to be concerned right. about.
And maybe you have covered this, but what's the consensus on who the Pats target for the 7th pick? Or do you think the pick will be traded for more value positions?
I don't think there is a consensus.
Nobody knows. Nobody knows, Frank.
And, yeah, real quick, Aaron Henderson, the linebacker from Maryland, he was the guy I wrote down, beats blockers to the spot. So whatever his 40 time is, it seems like he reads well and he beats you to the spot. And those are the things I think when we watch the tape, that and, like, getting off blockers and things like those are the things we like to see instead of just running around the 40 time.
That said, you'll never see the 40 replaced ever.
No, I don't think you will either. But it just, I think it's funny every year when you see these guys who just, and it's amazing to me that the NFL people would do it. I could see like the announcers and us doing it, but it's not just us. It's the people who do this for a living.
And they've been doing it for so long a certain way. If they were to change it right now you'd have nothing to.
Yeah, that's no reference point.
That's what Bill said.
Right now, you know that if he runs a 4.27, that, oh my God, that's one of the fastest times I've ever seen.
Right.
And no one knows, even they don't, like Tom says, they don't know what's great for that three-cone drill. Like, they know it specifically, but right off the top of their head, they're not going, wow, that's the same three-cone that Dion ran or,
4-1-4.
Or whatever. Holy Moses, he's 100th left.
That Frank Okam, when they didn't finish telling me the story they started telling because they wanted to get to Chris Long, they were showing him, like, running back and forth, like, 20 yards. I don't care.
Right.
Can he shed two blockers and get in the backfield? Because he's a nose tackle. That's all. I don't really care what he's doing 20 yards down the field.
Let's see.
What are you reading over there on you?
Jason and Chiba has sent us some superlatives. Within one 24-hour span in early February, I had my leg and heart broken. My leg has mended so that now I can walk with only a slight limp. And though I haven't yet played basketball since that fateful day, I figure it's time for me to get over the other. So here are the postseason superlatives. The best untold story. Cake, tennis racket, Christmas, what the hell, Kirsch? Okay. Worst emailer.
What the hell
line.
Does that mean?
I like blank because, as though PFW is a boy band. Seriously, how can you people have man crushes on writers? So that's when people say,
I don't know,
like,
ask Mike
don't
Reese.
Don't be jealous. They love us.
Emailer on emailer crime.
Best new segment, and the Urban Dictionary phrase of the day is
Oregon snail trail.
Andy is a douche. That is, Andy is a douche. Hey. All right. Most ironic.
This guy, I don't like him.
Jason and Chiba.
I don't care for him.
Most ironic, Eric is a Republican. Why? Was he converted by Larry Craig?
Oh, I like that one, Jason. You pulled it out.
Most ironic, honorable mention, Andy calling anyone a drunk.
I'm not a drunk.
Actually, Andy doesn't drink a lot.
Well, and he can't drink at all.
Right.
He's one of the worst drinkers I've ever seen.
Yeah,
I can agree with that.
He's not the same when he's drunk. He's one of the few people that's better when he's sober than drunk.
he's
funnier when he's sober.
Figuratively.
He's nicer when
not
he's
literally,
sober.
Of course.
Whiniest.
What the hell are you talking about over there, Mr. Figurative and Literal?
I said you're a lightweight, figuratively, not literally.
I didn't hear that word because you're always so quiet.
Whiniest is Tom when he doesn't get his sandwich, but I didn't want pizza. Sounds like some of the kids I teach. Eat your food and go back on Atkins, you angry large man.
Take it easy there, peg leg.
worst realization is what you Bill Walshes look like. Best evolving story.
That's hurtful.
Most watched Super Bowl in history. Not the most watched. Okay, you guys are right. No, I was right all along.
I'm sure he's banging supermodels. Jason from Chiba.
Scariest trend. Young teenagers emailing the show. At least you've got people offering to take that Eric problem off your hands. Most prophetic. Teams that try harder beat teams that don't. Just couldn't keep your big head shut up, could you?
You know what that means.
MVP of the Super Bowl, Eric's, I almost hit on some girl story, has to take it. Best caller, John in L.A., honorable mention, Anthony in Florida. Best emailer.
This guy's saying that people shouldn't have man crushes on us, and he's telling us who the best fan caller is.
Best emailer is me. I mean, I think so. What?
Okay, fine.
Strippers. Effing douche canoes. Happy now?
I never read your emails when I host Jason Chiba.
MVP of the season, Kirsch. Oh, wait. He's not Jewish? Then Paul. best trade of the Pats. Didn't make a loss in the regular season for a win in the Super Bowl. And worst moment in world history. Well,
this email.
I bet you can guess.
Wow. There it goes. Right? Oh, you missed, Fred.
I missed. All right, that's Jason from Chiba. It's 1:34. That means we have to take that break, and we'll be right back.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Yeah, let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo! And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
He's been a three-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
Three touchdown passes in the first half.
Now, Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free. Exclusively from the New England Patriots, this authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
Success is very difficult, but it can't, I'm proof it can be done.
All right. I think Brett Favre is still doing his press conference.
Well, I like the ESPN News in the
dreaming as a little kid.
Lower right box. They had it started off Favre press conference at 12. Then he was late. Then it was Favre retires reaction at 1 p.m.
Yeah.
Then he's been talking forever. Now it's more Favre retires reaction 2 p.m.
So they can be flexible. It's, you know, when Andre Tippett's a few minutes late, they don't have to jump to the next show.
Well, that's NFL.
ESPN News didn't have
ESPN's
Jamie
the
Dukes.
Saying they're pushing their times back.
NFL Network right there. They're sticking with them.
ESPN News didn't have the Jamie Duke show to get to.
Right.
That's the difference.
But Favre's putting Doug Flutie to shame.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're not showing his wife enough.
Strippers has a couple questions. We always get to strippers. One, he wants to know if Tom saw Curtis Lofton's tape yet.
Yes, I did.
What do you think?
Let me get to the notes here. I liked them.
You needed the notes to
No, I'm just trying to see what I said.
See, I saw him actually looking when he said that, but no, if I didn't, that's exactly what I
was. I wanted to make sure he was the guy I was thinking of. The thing I really liked about him, he plays with a mean streak and an attitude. When he tackles you, he stands above you, he hits you hard. He plays with that kind of mentality that I think the Patriots really like. Great open field speed, very good closing speed, big hitter. Sure tackler in the
big
open
hitter,
field.
The llama.
Sounds like David Harris.
Very similar to David Harris, I would say.
Okay.
So that's a guy I think maybe if they trade down, they could be looking at, but he'll probably be a bust because he played at Oklahoma.
Strippers
also something, you know, for the effort.
Strippers also wants to know, what do you guys think about linemen having to do 315-pound reps. 225 for anything over 20 reps is slow twitch muscles, yeah. No power in it. It's endurance like running a marathon.
I don't know if I'd go to 315, maybe 250.
You'll have injuries if you go too high.
I think 250 would be better for those guys. But they're not going to change it.
If you're risking injuries.
If you don't go too high.
Well, you would.
Yeah, you can't do reps of 315.
Right. First of all, the reason they do this is because everybody got away from maxing out, because you're risking injury on a simple testing that has no real bearing on playing. You don't want a guy to blow out a pec maxing out in the spring before he plays. It's stupid. That's why they went to 225.
I just thought it was funny the way you said it.
I just thought they went 225 because you can do it with two plates.
Well, that may have been, but they want
not the best color man in the business for nothing.
You only have to put the weight on the bar once.
People used to have to max out, and like at lower levels, I know, like when I was in high school and college, they didn't all do 225. Like they would have like.
That's more along the lines of what I was getting at.
Yeah, me too.
That's one of the things, though, Fred, at the combine that I just
I
don't
so
get.
So mad.
I know.
I don't get the 225.
Oh, I'm mad.
You don't get it.
Gary yesterday gave me
like,
one of
I get
those
the 40 because they want to
Well, they
want
to know
run.
Strength. They want to know that it, and it's not just strength. It's has the guy tried? Because if you've been in college for 3 years and went to when the strength coach said go work out, you worked out. You can do 225 a reasonable number of times.
Right, but I get the thing I don't understand is when people like are mesmerized when a Vernon Golston does 37 reps.
I've seen what he
looks like. Yeah, he should be able to do 37 reps, and then I'm disappointed when Schmidt can do as much as me and you.
Right.
Boom. Lawrence from Ireland. Sorry, I haven't been able to listen much lately. Been at the gym. I joined a football team in Dublin, not too far from where I live. There's actually a 9-team league over here, soon to be a 14-team league.
Wait, football?
Is that soccer or football?
No, I think he means actual football.
Irish football, like rugby.
Not
type?
Rugby. Football, Australian football, right, Lawrence?
Gaelic football?
Well, yeah, if he was playing
easy.
Eric would be playing that.
If he was playing rugby, he wouldn't be at the gym. He'd be practicing
drinking.
Boxing.
Or drinking.
He says he'll most likely be a quarterback or tight end. Anyways, I'm sick of everyone.
Funny, Eric's a wide receiver.
Anyways,
he likes tight ends.
I'm sick of everyone saying how terrible
oh,
the
you
Pats
now,
are.
Tom?
It was open.
Fred was going to get mad, but he had a burp anyway, so it didn't really bother him.
Anyways, I'm sick of everyone saying how terrible the Pats are doing in the offseason. The season's been over a month. Cut us some slack. That Super Bowl loss was tough. Bill has something up his sleeve. All will be well.
Okay.
So there you go.
Taking the Fred Kirsch perspective. I'm more interested in the aspect of that email that there's American football being played in Ireland.
Oh, sure.
Well,
Uganda.
But no, but NFL Europe was a colossal failure.
Is American football being played in China?
Yeah, I know, because the NFL is beating them over the head with American football. I haven't heard the Patriots going to play in Ireland, but somehow football has started up and there's 9 teams.
Yeah, there's probably a bunch of Americans who live over there who, you know, wanted to start their own little league or something.
Little? I think 9 teams is a pretty impressive league.
Yeah, it is.
I just can't believe how shocked you are that they're playing football in Ireland.
But so why didn't NFL
well,
Europe
some guy that just
work?
Happens to be emailing us is going to start playing and decide he's either going to be a quarterback or a tight end.
I'm just saying. Maybe
he hasn't decided yet.
Maybe they should have put an NFL Europe franchise in Ireland.
Maybe.
I'm sure that would have worked.
Well, they got 9-team league.
Let's see.
How many teams? Yeah, it's got to be, what, 30 guys on a team
NFL
at least?
NFL Europe didn't work because it sucked.
Well,
it had
agree,
nothing to
but,
do with where it was.
Well, this is not a pro league. This is just a fun
Thanks,
league,
Fred.
It sounds like.
No, I know, but I'm saying there's enough interest to put together a pretty respectable league.
You can play cricket on any Saturday in Wrentham. Seriously, they're out there playing. So why are you surprised?
Cricket and Wrentham?
We're spiraling out of control here.
Have you ever played cricket?
No.
I've never played cricket.
Yeah, you ever wanted
her over, Brett? Bring her
it
over.
It seems like a real boring game.
And there she is.
Let me take
like
a shot
for
here.
Like weeks.
Yeah,
you played cricket?
Sitting.
No, I haven't. I'm just
curious.
It sounds like something.
Have you played polo?
No.
Squash?
Yes.
There you go. I knew one of them.
Fencing?
No.
Hide the sausage.
God bless you, Randy. I haven't used that one in a while.
So what sports have you played? I wasn't listening.
Don't worry about it. Move on.
It's only 1:43. We're not into the Eric telling us what he's done.
Move on.
Wait, we've got to wait till 10 of? We've got to do
two straight weeks we've ended with these amazing Eric moments.
Well, we might today as well. But
because he does push-ups at home.
I really killed me with that St. Paul school story.
I'd like to try to get to some
Yeah, get to some emails. Let's go.
Okay, get to some people.
Alejandro from Bogota says, when Tom hosts, he says Foucault. When Eric hosts, he says Montreal. When Andy hosts, he looks for obscenities in the Urban Dictionary. when Eric hosts, he looks for the real etymology of words. When Fred hosts, well, the show sucks. just kidding, guys. Nice to hear you twice a week during these long and bitter months. My question is about Randy Moss. With a long-term contract, will he now show his true colors? What's your take on his lack of productivity during the end of the season? Better schemes, better defenses, or was he just in bad shape?
Bad shape? In terms of what?
I think he means like wearing down as the season went on.
Well, I don't know. I think one of the games.
Alejandro.
Well, no. You know, here's the one thing that we. The game before.
Who's the player we're talking about?
Randy Moss. Thanks for coming.
The game before, like, Randy's production started to slack off. That was the week where everybody was saying, is Tom Brady zoning in on Randy Moss too much? Remember that? There was this whole thing about Tom Brady's always
just throwing
forcing
the ball,
it
forcing
in.
It to, yeah.
And then.
No, he still threw Moss.
Then the next week, he caught 111 passes against the Giants. And
but what about that injury that was kind of thrown out the window? Remember, people thought he kind of hurt his leg there.
At the Giants. On that play.
When he fell,
he fell off the leg, got hit, and I thought that he might have hurt his ankle or his knee or something.
Yeah, but didn't he score after that play?
Yes, but, that was during that game. He didn't have a productive game after that.
No, he didn't.
Well, he was okay in the Super Bowl, I guess, but...
But maybe that was bothering him, and he couldn't. As you said, Fred, many times, he doesn't have the speed that he once had, and speed is his game. So you throw that in with an injured ankle, maybe that was hurting him a little
bit. And I'm sure people, I'm not going to try to break it down, but figured out ways to limit him a little bit as the year went on. He was so new early in the year, and he was making ridiculous plays.
They figured out how the Patriots were getting him open.
Right.
Yeah.
That's all I'll say. They didn't learn how to stop Moss.
Now you have a little bit of a step back. The Patriots can figure out a way to counter that.
I agree.
And we talked about it. You know, there's as much as you think the offense can't be as good as it was last year, there might be room for growth in different ways, that they do things a little bit differently to get him open, to, you know, decoy, scheme, you know, do different things. But I do think there's a fear that, and I don't even know if it's true colors or just, well, he's a 31-year-old receiver, and at some point he might not be the same guy.
Yeah, no, I think
I don't necessarily think he's going to turn into a jerk.
There's an element of fear in that. I think you don't know what.
I think he's going to be fine because he's still with Brady. They're still going to be winning. It's not going to be total. Oh my God, he's in Oakland again.
And look, maybe all the people in Oakland that said about his skills weren't anywhere near where he thought they were at this point.
Were people who didn't have skills that were where they should have been.
But it might
coaches.
But it might have been a situation where he had that extra motivation. He was going to a place that had the great quarterback that was going to make it easier for him to show everybody that he still had those skills. I mean, put it all together in one year. Maybe.
And he still didn't have those skills. Let's be honest. We saw those pass plays.
That's my point.
Where we said, well, the old Randy Moss would have been gone on that one. The old Randy Moss would have had another 200 yards receiving and another 3 or 4 touchdowns last year that this Randy Moss didn't have. But guess what? This Randy Moss was pretty good now.
So it'll be interesting to see how he responds year two. And I agree. I don't think that it was teams learned how to take Moss away. I don't think – I mean, the guy's been great for, 10 years now. People didn't learn how to take Moss away. What I think that they did during – it was a new thing with him in New England is they figured out what the Patriots were doing during the course of the year. They figured out how the Patriots were using him, and they did some things that helped better neutralize that as the year went on.
And I think one or two of the games, the weather might have been a factor.
Of course it was.
Oh, yeah.
Of course it was.
You know.
How about the one in Baltimore where he's wide open behind Ed Reed, and the ball just fell about 10 yards short of him because Brady was thrown into the wind.
Issue. That's not Randy Moss.
I think if one of the two people looked worse late in the year, it was Brady, not Moss. There were some throws Brady made late in the year that were just like, wow, that was really the throw? Maybe he got worn down. Too many balls.
Marcos from Argentina. Have we ever... Argentina?
The other day he wrote in, actually. He actually asked
he
him to write
to
in
say,
which city he's
supposed
from.
To let us know where in
okay,
Argentina.
Okay, so he's in
from.
Argentina. He says, I'm listening to the show live for a change. During last show, Gary asked about where I was from so he could stick a pin in his map. Funny, though, I thought Eric was the authority when it came to sticking pointed things in remote places.
Oh, that's not right.
Oh.
From Frank goes,
He's from Mar del Plata.
There you go, Gary.
Mar del Plata.
What does that mean? Like
that's in Argentina, where he's from.
Ocean flat or something.
Anyway, personally, he says he likes the Gaffney deal.
What,
$2 million.
Run out of gas over here. Tom's like face down, practically.
Yeah. What is
he said? He didn't have
blood
much left.
Down?
I got that. No, it's that sleep deprivation's killing me.
Really? I like the Gaffney deal. $2 million for a guy with 12.5 yards per catch and 5 TDs makes much more sense than what the Raiders just gave Javon Walker. Can someone explain that move to me? Glad Jake is back on the host chair. Just don't let him get all wound up about Spygate.
We avoided one of those all wound up. It wasn't really Spygate, but we were going down that road, and we successfully pulled out of it.
We were going down Spygate Road?
No.
Oh.
You two just going at it for a half hour.
Well, Sawyer from Waterloo, Iowa, says Andy, keeps saying,
Mowitz.
Andy keeps saying that we don't have any linebackers. Don't forget about Larry Izzo and T.J. Slaughter. On Tuesday, Jake Glazer from Fox was on the radio and had an interesting comment about the Pats. He said that he knows for a fact that some free agents did not even consider coming to the Patriots because they were unsure about the future of Belichick.
Hmm. Which we had talked about a few weeks ago. That may be affecting business. Remember?
We did?
Yeah.
We
thanks for paying
about
attention.
That.
If you were leading the charge, I wasn't listening.
Yeah, but, I mean, if you were a free agent, right, and you're looking for what's best for you, wouldn't you just, you know, inquire?
Go to the Patriots?
Yeah.
Is that what you want?
No. Wouldn't you see, hey, wouldn't you find out what the future is? I mean,
who knows?
Ask,
yeah,
ask
who knows? Who do you ask what the future is?
Belichick.
Well, how does he know?
Well, yeah, I mean,
there was some reference
the commissioner's
well, being
do.
Suspended.
He knows. Look, I you know, he can tell him straight up. There's nothing that's ever going to happen.
He's
going to
tell him the truth.
You
happen.
Believe that?
He's been
he's
saying
gonna,
that.
Player?
He's
going
to tell him the truth.
Yeah.
That's like asking the guy from Texas who comes to recruit you. You know what's going on with Oklahoma? Oh, they're done. You know what
right.
I mean? Like, doesn't make any sense?
No, I'm not buying.
Roger,
it.
Did you take steroids? Heck, no.
I'm not buying it as a major factor, Fred. I agree with you, but you're not going to get the if that's something that's worrying you. Then you're not going to get an answer
no,
from anybody.
I agree
you're not
going to
get an answer from Goodell. You're not going to get an answer from Belichick.
But then you're saying that people would be coming here not for the money. They'd be coming because of Belichick.
Yeah.
Right.
That's
it ain't
that
for the money.
Have been coming?
You come to win the game.
Isn't that what Adalys Thomas said
Adalys
last
Thomas
year?
Is maybe the only one that you could say that got the money out of, you know. I mean, who did they sign that you'd say, oh, he came here for the money? It's usually the guys that are coming here for less money than they could have gotten elsewhere. Why do you think that is? I got two reasons for you. Brady and Belichick. And as soon as one or two of those guys are no longer here,
well,
we're going to find out what the next
a lot of teams were going to give Thomas that money last year, but he said at the Pro Bowl, talk to Belichick, and he was the deciding
factor. I bonded
with
Belichick. I thought there was a connection there, and I thought he did a lot of things on defense that were attractive to me. He didn't even go to San Francisco because he didn't need to. He said he knew already that
tampering.
He wanted to come to the Patriots.
It is.
According to Florio.
Yeah, by the way, that's ridiculous.
He thinks
Florio's whole thing.
Well, that.
Well, it's just.
It's impossible to think that you're not going to talk to guys before the free agency starts.
But he thinks all of that is like tampering. It's not tampering.
That's a ridiculous argument.
I mean, like, he thinks two guys that meet at the center of the field and say, hey, you know what? You're a free agent after the year. You should come here. That's tampering. It's not tampering.
I know. It's so stupid.
Well, I mean, technically it is.
But it's really not.
But
how
do you not do that?
How do you enforce that?
Talking contract.
How do you not be a human being and talk to a guy about something like
right.
that?
If Bill said, Dallas, come to my hotel room later. I got a document I want you to look over, and it says, like, $35 million.
Right. That's tampering. That's tampering.
Or Drew Rosenhaus, what will it take to get your guy as a free agent next year? I'm going to offer that to you at 12:01. You
right.
got it. You got my word.
Right.
That's tampering.
Why don't you just forward date
that
and we'll sign it now?
I don't think it happens nearly as much as you think.
Well,
it
how
does.
Do they sign these deals as soon as free agency opens?
Like what is as soon as free agency opens?
Like within 7 minutes.
Like Asante Samuel signing at 4:00 in the afternoon the first day?
No, I'm not even talking about him. I'm talking about some of the other
deals.
That's
the poster child for tampering right now is Asante Samuel.
And
what about Lawyer Malloy saying, I know I...
That was tampering.
Yeah, but I mean...
He knew what he had available.
Isolated?
I don't think it's anywhere near as rampant as you think it is.
You really
and
think
I
a
also,
lot of people sign like 4 minutes later? I think they agree because
right.
it's how can
the
they
big
agree
dollars.
If they haven't talked about
because
it? They
talk
they say, about it right then.
How does 4 years, $15 million sound to you? And you go... That sounds pretty good. We'll work out the details.
And by the way, why is
that's
it? Why is it?
I also
issue
think it's.
Why?
I also think it's. I don't think it's a big deal. I don't think it's.
Why
I'm
is
not
it a,
saying it is.
Why
I'm,
is it a rule to begin with? It's so silly.
Well, then why have people in the contract? You know, it's to give.
They're
teams,
not under contract.
No, it's to give teams a chance to, you know, keep guys. You know, so that, you know, guys haven't agreed to contracts before the season's done yet.
I'm not saying that they have to sign it, but everybody talks about it. Everybody talks about, oh, this guy would fit good here, that guy would fit good there, I think I might want to play here. I mean, just it's
I know, but
it's
until
human
you talk
nature.
To that team as a player, it's just media talking about it. But it's when a team contacts you or your agent, then it's starting to be real. And now you're thinking about that, and maybe you're not thinking about, you know, other things.
But like Andy said, unless you have a document that you're faxing over saying, look this over, I mean, if you're just having conversations.
Hey, we're just talking here.
You know, why is that a big deal?
Well, I think they think it's a big deal. Otherwise, they, you know, tampering wouldn't be a rule, but.
If it's a rule that's not enforced, because it looks like happening all over the place
it's
every year.
It's not enforced because people don't have it enforced. People don't call, you know, if one team is upset about it and they choose to call another team and say, look, I had this free agent, he signed here, and it kind of interfered with my ability to re-sign that guy. I think they tampered, and I want you to look into it. That's a big deal. They're going
to
look into
it. But
you'd
still have to prove
it. But no one does that. No one calls anybody on it.
Because they all do it.
Well... I know where you're going with this, and I'm not going to get into it.
So Mangini's going to call the league?
There's 5 minutes left in the show, and I'm not going to touch it. To me, it's
you can't touch it.
It's apples and pomegranates. It's not
what
even
are we
close.
Talking about here? Eric's getting interested.
Paul knows he's about to get painted into a corner.
No, I'm not.
Spygate.
Right, I don't think. Exactly. No, that's all you. That's the only reason why you care about this is Spygate.
But it's a rule in the book.
Because I know
that
2 years ago,
violates.
I know for a fact when the Lawyer Malloy thing came out, you
Tom's
didn't care.
Asleep.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't. You were like, oh, what are you going to do? It's nothing you could do about it. No. But now all of a sudden, Spygate came out, and you're up in arms
about
tampering.
Remember.
I do remember. That's why I'm saying it.
Everybody
it was all about Spygate.
Everybody was pointing at that and saying, "Look, he got tampered with."
Yeah, that's the same as videotaping the other team's practice.
You know, but the point is, it's a rule on the books that everyone violates this tampering thing. It's okay. A fact. It's a fact.
I don't know if it's
yes
a fact,
or no.
But
I just don't think it's nearly as big a problem as
well.
Everybody
it may
else
not be
does.
A problem. I'm
no,
not saying
I'm saying I don't think it happens anywhere near to the level.
I think
it happens with three or four guys every year, and that's it.
I think
it.
Every team does it every year to a certain degree.
I agree with you, Fred.
Well, what are you counting as being tampering?
Violating the rule.
What is it? Tell me what it is.
Just having a
showing
discussion?
Interest, getting,
that's not violating the rule.
Having let me finish. Having contact with an agent or a player talking about interest before the contract's
spoke
out.
Too soon.
Okay. I don't think that happens nearly as much as you do.
I think every team does it every year.
I don't.
You know?
You're probably right.
Of course I am.
I don't think they have contact with agents beforehand. I don't think that happens a lot.
Well, okay.
I think Bill Belichick talking to Dalis Thomas at the Pro Bowl is not talking about his
right,
agent.
Right.
I'm defending the Patriots, Fred. Listen, I'm defending them.
Oh, God. I think Fred had one of his best shows ever.
Gary, you have that marked in the tape? Because this is 156, Paul defended Patriots. Let me get that down.
Mark tape.
Okay.
Do you have the first hour and 56 minutes where Fred says that I do nothing but bash the Patriots?
159, Paul swears at Fred.
I'm not nearly as upset at Fred as I am with you.
Why? What did I do now?
Just your typical
oh, you can't have fun
sniffling.
On the show. Got to have
that's
serious
fun?
Arguments with Fred.
That's fun that Fred and I are talking about something.
Plus, we're cutting into Eric's time, telling him other
Eric's
sports
got nothing
played.
Left.
Name, how many Olympic sports have you competed in? Not in
competed.
The Olympics, but Olympic-type sports. You ever do
basketball?
The decathlon?
Does that count? No, he meant played.
Track and field? You ever do
how many push-ups and sit-ups do you do?
I do sets.
Sets of what?
40 crunches.
Eight. I'm wondering.
He started
I'm
with
not
crunches?
Setting up.
He asked about push-ups.
I'm just wondering.
I do usually about 12 to 14 sets of 10 to 15.
I do that with one arm. Okay.
Wait a minute. You do 14 sets
of 10
push-ups?
Push-ups?
14 sets?
Yeah, you rest for like
one each?
All day. No, you rest for like 45 seconds to a minute in between.
10 each?
10 to 12.
I do 10 sets 15. Of 75.
So you're doing 140 push-ups?
Over, you know, 40 minutes. That's what it ends up coming to. 40, half
and,
hour, 40
and I
minutes.
Do 750, so why are you in better shape than me?
You do push-ups?
All the time.
In addition to going to the gym?
I supplement chest workouts with push-ups sometimes. But
at the,
I'm just
at the gym?
This
I'm
one's
just,
all happy with himself.
No,
right? Why
sake,
am I
I'm
happy?
Fun.
You, that's you're smiling all the time. I'm just picturing you at home doing push-ups.
10 of them.
And then looking at the clock for
my
45
seconds. My wife
does
more than that,
doing
for
another
Christ's sakes.
Whoa, that's one question we should ask.
What's that?
Are you doing girly push-ups on your knees?
Oh.
What is he talking about?
Well, you
a girly push-up.
The push-ups on their knees.
Even I don't do that.
When we have our push-up-a-thon, Eric, I'll do it with one arm. You can do it with two, and we'll see who wins.
Okay.
All right.
I'll do it with one, too, by the way.
We're getting closer to Judgment Day when Tom and Eric actually compete in something.
Hey,
listen,
if you're so great at push-ups, why do you
stop at 10? Tom and Chris Ferreira basketball is happening before we do anything.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for today's show. Have a good weekend, everyone. We will see you next Tuesday.